What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic on this Friday night, 7:02. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Hanging out with you on this great evening. It's nice outside today. Jamie was hanging out with us for the hour for the Draft Line show. We always appreciate everybody hanging in with us and talking some draft lines and some Sixers and some NBA, Major League Baseball, all the great things they have going on there, having some fun with us there. But we got to get into some serious stuff as well tonight with the Sixers game number 4 tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. start time in Toronto, getting ready for a sweep. We all hope, obviously, for the Philadelphia 76ers. So we have some, get into some of that. The NFL news that's been out there with the draft, everything coming down that way. I have to go back to a conversation that we didn't have last night, and I should have gotten to it, didn't mention it, and I got some flack from it from my man John on Twitter that I didn't talk about the receivers out there and the potential of the Philadelphia Eagles looking at one of those receivers. We'll talk about that later on. By the way, that was Deebo Samuel, and so we'll get into that. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Tyler Zuli's here. He'll have the leftovers at 9:45. We'll see what we missed and update you on some other things that are going on throughout the evening with some live games as well. But I wanted to start with the Philadelphia 76ers, the latest news. We'll get to Gabe, Ramid, everybody that's there, 610-632-0975. I wanted to start with the Sixers because of the Embiid news that came down via a story from Woj and Ramona Shelburne, and then Shams, each of them having some information. And I'll say this because I did show Tyler and Jamie the information that I got last night after the show about this, which was that he had his hand fitted, molded and fitted for the possibility of the ligament damage in his hand. And that was given to me last night. I always like to double check things. And I did not do that, so I wasn't worried about being first. I was just more worried about being right, which the information that was given to me late last night was correct, where he had his hand molded for possible protection on his hand, and then being informed that torn ligament in his hand. So I did have some of that last night after the show. Did not tweet it out because I always like to, again, make sure I have my information correct. And I talked to Tom Alvord about it last night. He and I discussed it off the air, but I did not release it publicly. So that's it. But it's not about being first. It's about being right. It's about having a conversation. I am not worried because I know you can play through it. I'm not worried about it. Jamie talked about how the doctor, David Cho, on Twitter, what he said about the, you know, the medical sports doctor that always has an opinion on things, even without having seen the player and dealing with the injury and all of that, he still has, you know, a general sense of what's going on and what a player can deal with or not deal with. And he feels like it's not a big deal for Joel Embiid this time around. So that's good news to hear it. Now it's about seeing it all play out, seeing it play out, seeing what he is actually dealing with and doing with it. And I'm not worried about it because we've seen other people deal with it. We've seen Embiid have to wear basically a glove on his hand. Tyler, everybody, having to wear a glove on his hand for that protection of the knuckle and the injury that was sustained before. So I'm not worried about it. Adrian Wojnarowski says the team have put out there the Sixers plan to list him as available with a right thumb sprain for game 4. He's going to play through it. I expect his teammates to pick up the slack with him in closing out this series, because they understand how important the series is to close, of course, and for them to all get the rest, and deal with it. So it's his right hand, it's his thumb, and we'll see, right thumb, we'll see how he plays through it. You know they're going to come down on his hand very hard. They're going to swipe at it. They're going to smack at it. They do it anyway. He's going to have to be careful with his rip-through move, because that's what he likes to do. And when you do your rip through, depending on where his hands are positioned on the basketball, left hand, guide hand on the side of the ball, right hand on the top or the side, kind of on that angle. Of course, you all know, you've all shot a basketball, you know how it goes. If he does that rip move and he goes through, he's going to hurt his hand. So he has to be careful of what he wants to do, how he does it with that rip through move with that hand. So I'm not as concerned I want to see him play through it. I want to see how much it slows him down. And certainly his teammates are going to have to pick up the slack. Where will he run his offense through? Will it be mid-post? Will it be high post? Will it be behind a three-point line? Will they still run things through him on the low block? How faster will he get the ball out of his hands under control and not turning the ball over to avoid any extra attention on the hand while out there? So we'll see that he's played through a lot of stuff, the discomfort. He played through it in game number 3. That was a lot of adrenaline. Let's see what happens in this particular case for Joel Embiid. So I ask you, based on the information that we know, how concerned are you about the latest news, the information about Joel Embiid and the injury to his right hand, which is the shooting hand? And what do you guys think? Does this concern you going into game number 4? 610-632-0975. I am not as much as concerned as maybe others might be until we actually see how he plays with this injury, with the protection on his hand, if it gives him any kind of trouble. So again, the number 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on that? And also, with this Joel Embiid injury, I want to ask you about James Harden, too. We have 3 hours. You know, we did the 1 hour with Jamie, so I want to put this out there now instead of waiting for later. James Harden. I know Mike and Connor and Jen were talking about it as well. James Harden has averaged 18 points, a double-double, 18 points, 10 assists once again, and rebounded the ball fairly well also for the Sixers through the first 3 games. He has shot the ball the way he has shot it. He has passed the ball the way he has passed it. Defensively, he's never been a plus player. He does have some moments where he defends well. He'll get some steals, some blocks as well, positions his body well enough where he's very strong and he doesn't find himself bothered so much defensively. But offensively, I'm kind of curious of how people look at his game so far through the playoffs. So many years with Ben Simmons here, who in my opinion, he played great in the first round, not so much in the second round of all of the second round appearances that he's had. But what we've always wanted and talked about is the extra guard to help him out as a secondary ball handler. Right now you have that in Tyrese Maxey for James Harden. But as a point guard, I've taken a lot of phone calls, had a lot of conversations off the air, read a lot of tweets directed at me or Tyler or the Fanatic or others in general about the point guard play. As a point guard, he is playing phenomenal basketball. He is double-digit assisting. He is mixing in his points. He has averaged 22 the last 2 seasons, where he is no longer that big number of 28, 30, 33, 36, leading the league in scoring. You're not getting that from James Harden, and quite frankly, you don't need that right now. Can you use it at times? Absolutely, depending on how the game is going. You can certainly use him to get those types of crooked numbers for the 76ers and help you win. But as a point guard, he has played really well in this series. In my opinion, he has had a clear command of the offense. He has, in my opinion, again, my thoughts only, a good sense of what the defense is doing and how he can exploit it, which he has. That is, him getting his own shot, whether it's the floater, the three-pointer, driving, kicking to either corner, left or right, where Tobias Harris, Danny Green, Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton, Joel Embiid, George Niang have all been the beneficiary of James Harden passing because he is sucking in the defense as he gets into that painted area, drawing that attention and kicking the basketball out, spraying it out behind the three-point line, Danny Green as well, to all of these people. And they are making them at a really good clip. I didn't think it would continue after game 2. I remember talking to Dustin in the Northeast. He felt like it would. They have shot the ball well from behind the three-point line, so I give them credit. But he's doing that. I saw a lob from him to Joel Embiid in game number 3. We never see lobs to Joel Embiid, but he's breaking down the defense. And while he may not be blowing by people the way he used to, he is under control. He is not charging much. He is getting to, even though he had the 2 charges, he is getting to spots where they have to commit and sometimes overcommit because what he is capable of doing as a point guard, as a passer, He is still mixing in his points. He's averaging 18 points and over 10 assists in this series. But I still hear people say he is not giving enough scoring the basketball. Folks, you know when I need him to score the basketball a lot now? The elimination game. The closeout game. That will be tomorrow to take pressure off of Joel Embiid. So far, it hasn't really called for it. And when it did call for it in game number three, he kept them in the game in the first half. Tyler was engineering it. I was here watching it with Tyler and Tom. And he played well in the first half, keeping them in. Now, he fouled out later, but 18 points from Joel Embiid, a spurt from Tyrese Maxey, some key shots and key defense from Green and Harris in the second half. He did his part early on with the points that allowed them to stay in it, for Embiid to go off, for Maxey to make the plays that he did, and the others that we mentioned, George Niang also, and they ultimately won the game. What more do you want from James Harden right now? I don't know what he's going to give you against Miami or Brooklyn, Boston, Milwaukee, Phoenix. I don't know. But right now, that man is playing some really good basketball as a point guard, which I know many people have wanted over the years. And do you want 25 to 30 points on the regular and less assist? Or are you content with the 18, possibly 22, with the double-digit assist as well? And the most important stat of them all, folks, they're winning the games with how he's playing it, how he's running the offense, breaking down the defense, feeling he has a good idea of what they are trying to do to them. What more do you want from James Harden in the moment against the Toronto Raptors? Because I personally am fine with what he has been doing. I would like to see him score a little bit more tomorrow to take some of the pressure off of Embiid tomorrow afternoon. That being said, through three games, I think he has played a phenomenal point guard game. One of my cousins called in last night, Sonny, my cousin Son, late last night, and was like, I heard a call. I don't understand what they want from James Harden. And that kind of prompted us to want to talk about this here tonight, because when my cousin called in last night, he said it. Yo, what more do you want from him? He's setting these guys up, and they're making the shots. What more do you want from James Harden? What are you looking for? 610-632-0975. Joel Embiid with a ligament injury, it appears, with his right hand, right thumb. How concerned are you? He said he's going to play. It's not an issue. He is going to play. They're going to wrap it up. Maybe have some protection with a glove-like thing on his hand to protect it while they're swipe at it. They'll try to come after him and hurt him more and force him out of the game. How much more will we see Paul Reed? I don't know. But how concerned are you with that one? 610-632-0975. And also, I said it with Jamie during the Draft Line show. Talked about it with Tyler as well. We have some sneakers people on the whole that I wanted to talk about sneakers. Tyler and I are going to try to incorporate this a little bit more into the show over the course of the rest of the spring, the summer, when we have more time to do so. I'm a big sneaker person. I'm 44 years old. A lot of people, you know that or may not know. 44 years old. Growing up in West Philadelphia, it was always a thing. In my neighborhood, it was always a thing in my family, where we love sneakers. We love fashion. But sneakers for sure, it's easier to talk about that. So with the sneakers, you also know that if you've listened over the years, I played basketball a lot in my life. And I tore my ACL in 2019 in May. I'm able to play again. I'm back. I still wear a brace. Sometimes, you know, it hurts a little bit, but I'm still coming back. But the point is, I'm back out on the floor. And I released a pair of sneakers that I have on social media, on my Twitter account, at DevonG975. On Instagram, my daughters made me create an Instagram account. So Anthony Gilbert, my buddy, made me create an Instagram account. One of my best friends, Mark, also. And on there, Devon.Givens, I put out the same pair of sneakers. And I wanted to incorporate into the show. I wear certain pairs of sneakers. I have a lot of different ones right now. I have my favorites. Chris Paul's are some of my favorites. Also, not just because he plays with the Suns now. I've always had these and liked his sneakers. But I released a pair of low-cut Kobe Bryants on my Twitter account and on my Instagram account. And these are a pair that I've never worn. I have not played in these. I have not worn them casually. I just like them. I love colors as well. They have like pastel colors in these sneakers. They're really cool. I thought they were different. I love them. And I released those to share those with everyone. So I put those out there. And with it, because I'm back able to play, you guys play. I talked to so many of you. I've been invited out so many times to play ball with you guys. And I will, now that I'm able to do so. I wanted to know what you were wearing. What's good for you right now? What do you like playing in? Maybe I'd like to get a pair of those to play in. And maybe some that you just simply like in general on an everyday basis that you want to share with us on the phones and on the social media and let us know what you guys are wearing. What are your favorites right now? What are you into? Because Jamie and I talked about it. It drives me crazy as a sneaker person from West Philadelphia growing up. And I would always go, our spot was always 52nd Street. There were about three different sneaker stores there, Samson and all these places that we would go. Later on, you had like Sneaker Villa, all that, 69th Street. And then certainly when you expanded a little more, we would go downtown and do the same thing and find our spots and get our sneakers that we like. We can't get those anymore like that. Things are different. The game has changed. And I hate it because I always like going to 52nd Street on a Saturday afternoon, me and my best friend or my cousin, and we would go grab a pair of kicks that we liked because we could, because they were available in the store. I love having the plastic around them. You look on the bottom of the shoe, they have them written in ink, and crossed off are the ones that you can't get. It's different now. But that being said, I want to know from you guys, while we talk some Sixers to start off, we'll get to some Eagles things later on. What sneakers are you into now? What do you have? Share with us some of the things that you have. You always like to sport them. So if you can sport them, you can talk about them. Some of your favorites right now that you're playing in any activities, baseball, football, basketball, lacrosse, soccer, whatever it is. Let us know what you have. I'm always into that stuff because I love it. And I shared a pair of mine. You can check them out at DevonG975 or the Instagram account that I talked about. I see Nate. It was here with us. Nate, I saw him at Fan Fest a couple of years ago. He had some slick sneakers on. Somebody spilled beer on him. He was hot. I was like, Nate, calm down. Just calm down. So I know that you are out there. I know how it goes. Let's talk about him. Let's have a little fun on this Friday night. 610-632-0975. I'll share some other things that I like sneaker-wise as well. The Joel Embiid ones are comfortable. I have a pair of those. Under Armour and the Sixers sent me a pair of those. They're very comfortable. They're nice. And let us know what you have overall. All right, so let's do that. Let's have some fun tonight. Talk a little hoops and get into it all. Embiid, the injury. James Harden, what more do you want? And sneakers, what's on your feet when you play whatever sport you're playing? I'm thrilled to be able to be back out there. I have Kevin Durant's. I have Chris Paul's. I have Joel Embiid's. I have Giannis, a pair of Giannis's. Ones or twos, they were slick, so I got those, even though they beat the Suns. Made sure I bought them on sale. And what else are you guys wearing? All right. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zulli is here. Let's start off with Gabe on the cell with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Gabe?
Devon, good to talk to you again, brother.
You too, man. Thank you.
So listen, I had to call in regarding the sneaker conversation. I'm a huge sneakerhead. 29. Single, constantly spending money on shoes. You know, that's what I do. I've got maybe like 60 plus pairs of sneakers. And just sometimes I resell too, so don't hate me.
No, I'm not going to be mad at you. I understand it. Yeah, but I just hate that it's hard for me to get them when I want them. But go ahead.
The game is
now. I know where to go. Now I know where to go.
Yeah, no. So my sneaker rack collapsed. I bought off Amazon. Just collapsed on me from all the weight on it, because it's a couple years old, but I bought a new one. I have to set it up. Once I get set up, I'll send you a picture of everything.
No doubt. I appreciate that. Yeah.
For sure. But regarding, I guess, like my favorite shoes right now, I probably have to go, I don't know if you've seen any of the Travis Scott Jordan collabs.
Yeah, with the brown ones with the reverse swoosh.
Yeah, so yeah. The Travis Scott sixes, the khakis, that's probably my favorite pair in my collection right now. I rock those all the time. Love them.
And he also has the blue ones, the royal blue, white, with the pink in it a little bit. I love those. Yep. I love the color scheme, but I'm not a fan of the reverse swoosh.
It's kind of just, I feel like they just gave him like a marketing shtick to kind of just go with, and they're just like, all right, this is.
And they're his, so everyone knows. Yeah.
Exactly. It's easy. It's identifiable. That's the thing. Everyone knows that they're his. That and the Cool Gray 11s. I love Jordan 11s.
The Jordan 11s, they're just simply a classic. So anytime, any color scheme, I can get down with those.
Absolutely.
And the Jordan, the lows, the IEs are my favorites, honestly.
Yeah?
Yep. Always have been the white with the elephant skin on the surrounding
those
of the...
Dope.
Those are my favorites.
Those are dope. Those are dope. I've never been a big fan of the lows or the mids. I try to stay with the... You know, if I go with Jordan 1s, I'm probably going highs. Either way. I mean, if you could pull it off with a fresh outfit, it works.
No doubt, man. And I appreciate that. What do you got on the Sixers, Gabe?
Yeah. So the Sixers... I'm okay with Harden basically giving what he's got right now. I'm okay taking, 18-10 and, a few rebounds because that means that he is facilitating the ball and opening other people to score. And I know it's not the Harden that we signed up for. I still genuinely think there's something going on with his hamstring, which is why I really hope with the full season of rehab and just our full offseason of rehab that next year he can come out, guns a-blazing. But right now for this moment, I'm okay with him giving us a double-double every game, 18-10. Because, like I said, it facilitates other people. It sets up open shots for Danny Green. It sets up open shots for Toby. It sets up open shots for Maxey. And it also takes the load off of Embiid, which is basically what we want, especially now considering his injury that's come up. I'm okay with him being a facilitator that gives you 18 a night. I'm okay with that. And like I said, I know it's not what Sixers fan probably signed up for because they probably wanted, the Harden that blows by people and gives you, 30 a night and hits, 5 threes a game. Like, I don't really think we're going to get that as of right now because I do still genuinely think like his injury is hampering him. But for right now at this moment, I'm okay with the production that he's giving. I genuinely am.
Yeah, as am I. And I think he's been just playing really good. And we now have to wait until next season, Gabe, to find out if his hamstring was a problem, if it's just age or what, right? And a full offseason and a training camp to go through everything of playing with his teammates as well. Gabe, listen, man, you think they close it out?
I think so, yeah. I think they get rid of him and then we move on to Miami because I think Miami, unfortunately, I think Miami's going to take care of Atlanta.
Don't forget, man, send me some of those kicks, whether it's on Twitter,
absolutely,
Instagram, whatever, and check out the ones that I put up there as well. Thanks, man.
No problem.
You got it, Gabe. That's how we're starting tonight. 610-632-0975. Let Tyler know what you want to talk about when you call in. Let him know you want to talk about the sneakers as well, and we'll do that. 610-632-0975. Ramid, Bill, Brian, Steve, Moan, one open phone line, 610-632-0975. Gabe just opened it up for you. We start things off when we get back. 7:30 segment right here on a Friday, a Fanatic Friday, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.5 The Fanatic on this Fanatic Friday, presented by PumpManPhilly.com. Need a water pump expert for your facility? 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement. Count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. 610-632-0975 for us. Tyler Zuli is here. We'll get his thoughts here shortly. And congratulations to Kyle Neptune, the new Villanova men's basketball head coach, taking over for Jay Wright, has decided to retire, surprising all of us. Well done, obviously, Jay Wright, for what he has done. Two national championships, all of these tournament appearances, the Final Four appearances, Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame inductee. Tremendous work from Jay Wright. I have met Kyle once, I think, just from my obviously being around it with Mikhail. I don't know him well. I know some of the other assistants better from being around them, knowing them better. I know of Kyle, met him once, but I don't have a personal, really, attachment to him, relationship to him. But I've always heard good things from my people, obviously, not just Mikhail, but everybody else in the family who does know him. And great guy. Some other friends that I know that are cool with him as well. Great guy, knows the game, obviously, to be taking over a situation like this. Did a nice job at Fordham when he left Villanova to take over the head job there. This is certainly a big step, but with this big step, they would not have called his name if they didn't think that he was prepared. So good luck to Kyle Neptune. Good luck to everybody else there on staff that will be remaining, obviously. And I think they'll do a fine job. Villanova is one of those programs now. And I hope that they can continue to have their success with Kyle Neptune in charge. So, again, congratulations to Kyle. And certainly a good retirement for Jay Wright also.
So I've only spoken to him once. And when I say spoken to him, I don't mean like we...
Jay Wright?
No, Neptune.
Okay.
And when I say spoken to him, I don't mean like we've had a conversation. Do you remember last year for... This season we had their games on our sister station Ben FM, so we would do coaches interviews after the game, and it was funny. The only time that I ever worked a game where he was the, because they would rotate like the assistants who would come on after the game, the only time that he was on that I worked a game, we were having like ridiculous technical difficulties, and I called him like four times. And I was so apologetic. I'm like, Coach, I'm so sorry. I know you got to get to the bus and blah, blah, blah. And every single time I would call him back, he'd be like, it's cool. We're good. We'll get it. If we don't do it, we don't do it. If it we'll make it happen. Like, dude, stop. You don't need to apologize. So even in that very like little brief interaction, like, seems, you know, just from what I know, seems to be a good dude and a good coach. And I think the... whatever the turnover is going to be, I think is going to be minimal between staff and players. I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys hit that transfer portal.
Yeah.
Because they know Neptune, and I think they respect him.
Yeah.
So it's not like you've got some guy coming in that, you know, was West Coast or, you know, a D2 or anything like that. Like, the guy has a lot of standing at Villanova.
And again, not just the Villanova part, but the Fordham part, getting an opportunity to coach, to be a head coach, and now he's coming back. So, Kyle Neptune, if you're listening, I doubt it. I mean, I know some people do, but if you are listening, Kyle, congratulations, good luck to you out there, and I hope that they just have continued success. They have a good group of guys coming in too. They did a good job scouting like they always do. The recruiting, they have some good guys coming in. All right, let's get back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Good luck to Kyle, Villanova. Let's see how the locals now, the other schools, the fans, how they feel about Villanova now. With no Jay Wright. They always thought it was unfair, Tyler, that Jay Wright would do everything, get all the people. Still might. It's a good program. It is what it is. All right, let's go to the folks on the phones. Ramit, Philly. What's up, Mitt?
Fine, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
As always.
Thank you.
Let me get you with the sneaker thing first, because you know I'm in the sneakers too. My favorite pair that I have right now are the CB34 Barclays.
Yeah.
I think they just came back out like last year or not too long ago before that. I got the Phoenix Suns colorway of that shoe.
The black ones? Or the white ones? The black ones?
The black one, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to this Embiid thing, I think that it's not going to really be a big deal with the Raptors. It'll probably be more of an issue when we play Miami. But I think Atlanta might be able to hold that series a little longer. They might be able to steal two games at home. The James Harden thing, I think I want more from him because his percentage is just trash. Like, he's shot like 30.
So are you just saying more efficiency?
Yeah, like more efficiency. Like, if he can be more efficient, he'll basically be what we thought Ben Simmons was, like 18, 10, 8, or sometimes triple doubles. Because he do everything else. Well, like, he can see the floor. He a real good floor general. He, like, motivate Maxi a lot. But I think he really covers everything else. But that efficiency, he got to get more efficient. And that might be because of the hamstring.
Maybe it is. But overall, though, the production, to your point, in this series, it may not be a factor. I'm a person, Mid, that you know, I'll wait and adjust to what we see on the floor, how things are going, and especially when you're talking series, because they're going to switch things up. They'll figure right. things out. They'll make those adjustments for who you're about to play. So I'll wait to find out playing Miami or Atlanta. Obviously, I think it's going to be Miami, but just, you know, whatever. We'll see how defend him and who defends him, because they have defenders all around that perimeter.
Yeah, they do. That's another thing I wanted to ask you. Like, who do you think will defend Tyler Herro and Jimmy Butler? Because I was saying we should put Matisse on Herro and put, like, Harden on Jimmy Butler.
Well, Herro comes off the bench.
Right, yeah.
Butler starts. Robinson comes off the bench as well. So it's just a matter of what the rotations will look like from Doc Rivers to who will be out there. So maybe they do keep Danny Green in the starting lineup for Matisse Thybulle to run around with Tyler Hero and or Duncan Robinson with that lineup and figure it out that way. So right now I don't know because Maxey has to stay with someone. Green has to stay with someone in that starting lineup. So does Tobias Harris. So maybe Tobias Harris will be on Jimmy Butler. I don't know. Max Strus, he does stuff, but maybe you can get away with having James Harden or Max Strus. You know what I'm saying?
They get on my nerves how they keep finding guys like that. Where'd he come from?
They get on your nerves because your team doesn't do it.
Yeah, like, why would they never draft Duncan Robinson and Max Strus?
Duncan Robinson and Max Strus weren't drafted. They were all unsigned, undrafted free agents.
And what about the other guy? Was he drafted Gabe Vincent?
I think they were all undrafted free agents.
Wow, they got an eye for talent out there.
They have an eye for talent, and the player development is fantastic. Man, they close it out tomorrow?
No, I think they lose that one, but they close it out Monday.
On Monday. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mid, thanks, man. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game tomorrow, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Yes, they have a great system down there of finding talent. The scouting is certainly really good, and the development with what they do with the players and helping to make them into the players that they are. From Robinson, Vincent, Strus, Yurtseven, that's Tyler's favorite guy. Whoever, right? Whoever, they can play.
All right, come on now. Not my favorite guy. I just thought he played really well.
No, you thought he played well.
I thought he played really well in the stretch that he wasn't available to play.
He did. He started over Dwayne Dedman because he was playing really well with the flow of what they were doing.
And the reason that I tweeted that out, you know, what seems like an eternity ago, and it was really only a couple months ago, was because I know that the conversation was surrounding DeMarcus Cousins and where he was going to fit if the Nuggets didn't, you know, convert his 10-day to a rest of the season contract. And my initial thought was Miami with Adebayo missing so much time. And then the two, you know, you can figure things out once Adebayo comes back. But Yurtseven played so well over that stretch that I figured it didn't even need to become a necessity. And obviously it didn't come to fruition anyway because Denver converted Cousins' contract to the rest of the year. So yeah, it was a moot point anyway.
Yeah.
But I thought you're right. I mean, I thought Yurtseven played really well in that stretch.
Yeah, oh, man, he did play really well. I don't see him on the floor at all now. He
hardly plays.
No, it's Dedman after Adebayo, and I guess he's just simply insurance for the Eric Spoelstra-led Miami Heat. 610-632-0975.
They'll bring in the next guy.
They'll do something.
The what do they call it? The Heat way or whatever it is?
Oh,
the Miami way or whatever? Like,
it's Miami way, and it's the Heat culture, of course.
Heat culture, that's what it is. Yeah, you got to be in like, you got to run in like 1,000-degree weather until you throw up.
Yeah, you have to have a certain weight and a body percent, baby fat. Yep. Bill in Schwanksville with us here tonight. Bill.
Hey, Devon, how are you?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Great. Congrats on the name playing, getting to play again.
So, yeah, man, feels good. Good to be back that's out awesome. There. Thank you.
That's a good thing. I wish I could walk away, but the game loves me too much.
No, you can't walk away. You just don't.
No, I can't. It drives me crazy.
No,
yeah,
you don't.
you know, as far as the sneakers go, I haven't worn high tops since high school. I love the three-quarter. And I'm a big, I love the KD7s. They were one of my favorite pairs. And yeah, I have right now, I ordered the Answers, the AIs with the gel on the bottom.
There's, yeah,
you know, like the black with it's got his stats and I love
not the questions, the Answers.
Correct, the
yeah,
Answers.
Yep.
Correct. They're like my favorite.
So, yeah, man. I really like the Kevin Durant's. There were one pair, don't remember, I just recently saw them where Kevin Durant, he had the, I can't remember which ones they were. He's had, what, like 13 of them now since he's
correct,
been around for
yeah,
so long. The KD, he had the Easter color, and I remember my daughter had them, and they were just phenomenal with the strap yeah, across the foot. It's the Easter KD4. The KD4s.
Seven had the straps.
Yeah, too. Oh, man, I love those.
I like them when it's super tight. Yeah, I love them. Yeah, it's a lot about traction for me, so, you know, it's funny, but, you know, some sneakers will be $40, and they have unbelievable traction just because they're not a brand name. But anyways, as far as the Sixers go, I'm 100%, with you. The only thing I'm not, and I'm not saying you, just with some of the callers was telling your producer there that, I don't think you know, they match up definitely as well with Miami. As
really?
They do,
I do.
I just think because they just got so many guys can flat out shoot. And they even defensively, Devon, I think they swarm. I mean, they're just so well coached defensively. They got four guys that are just pressure you. And, you know, like I said, you know, like I'm looking at Toronto, they don't have that, you know, those guys, you know, Van Fleet can hit the three and this and that. You know, but they got Hero, they got Duncan Robinson, they got, you know, Lowry. I think defensively they can flat out play. So, you know, I'm not saying the Sixers don't have a chance, but I'm just saying I like, they're number one seed for a reason. But as far as, you know, it's so funny, I agree with
By
you.
By the way, they split the season series, if that matters to you. The Sixers 1-2 and the Heat 1-2.
Yeah. But, you know, they didn't have Butler the one time, and they didn't have, you know, they weren't
And then the Sixers, though, when they won, they didn't have Embiid or Harden.
Correct.
Lowry was out there. Duncan Robinson was out there. Tyler Hero. They cooked him. They made
that
him look
like that huge loss to Boston, by the way. I think that game.
Sure.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, I agree with you with Harden. It's funny. You thought he definitely isn't the player and he's never going to be the
But we
guy.
Knew that. I
but
knew
I'm
that.
With you. I agree, Devon, but I love, and I told you this when I called with Harden, the difference between his 18 and Simmons' 18 is he draws the defense. Like, he constantly, at least four or five times a game, he gets that little, the defender either goes with him and he lobs it to Embiid, or they lay off and he lays it in.
Yep.
They never did that with, like you said, you never saw Joel Embiid get alley-oops ever on a pick and roll, ever. So, you know, I'll take, and then the other thing is, it's so nice, he lets Maxey play off the ball.
Yeah.
So you see how fast Maxey is. He doesn't have to bring the ball up 90 feet. He can get it to him at 60 feet and boom and let him. So, you know, I'll tell you what, Tobias has played great, Devon.
Absolutely.
I mean, defensively, I think he's been great. And I would love to see him go against, you know, Butler. I think that's, you know, he seems to be better on the offensive end when he's good, when he's engaged defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's huge for him. He's been great. He's been spot up, you know, really, really, really doing well. So I like, and of course, Embiid, Devon, he's blocking balls with his elbows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, I mean, he looks like he's playing with high school kids, you know, every game. I mean, defensively.
That's when we talk about the domination.
It's like, yeah, so we don't need Harden, like you said. I just think, you know, we just need our Tobias, Harden, and Maxey to give us that, you know, that 18 to 20 range, you know, 16, 18, and just let Joel kind of like dominate. And we need them defensively, you know, like, you know, and Harden's played well defensively. And like you said, I'll take his 14 assists are way different than Simmons because nobody even played, you know, that crybaby, yep, for God's sake. We're Harden respecting it. And like you said, he's getting it to those guys. So I love the way that he's playing right now.
Yep.
And the Sixers, Devon. And I think I'm with you. I don't think Toronto wants to take a trip back to Philly. I think that last game, you know, with all the calls, that was their chance, and I think they're going to pack it.
They've done all that they could, and they're out of answers.
Yeah, that last punch in the mouth was, you know, like, I mean, they got every call, like, you know, they were up 17, they got every seven to lose like that, you know, the last second,
yep,
you know. So I think they're, you know, they don't want to come back.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to it. So, Devon, congrats on the knee.
Thank you.
Keep on playing.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Let me know when those AIs come in for sure, man.
Oh,
thanks.
I got them.
Oh, you got them already.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
you got it.
Got them. Thanks, Devon.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You too. Sorry about that. Cut you off there at the end. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I mean, James Harden, I knew that he wasn't going to be the same guy. I think many of us did who saw him in Brooklyn. You understood that, especially with other players that he's playing with, that he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to. He's figured things out for this one, and he'll adjust. As I brought it up, when he said what he said at that introductory press conference, high-level players will figure it out. Well, he's a high-level player still. Just have to adjust, adapt, and do things differently. 610-632-0975. Steve in Delaware next. Right here on 97.5. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on?
Not a lot, man. A Friday night. Talking little hoops, getting ready for some things.
I'm a couple years older than you. I go back to sneakers. I remember back when Dr. J's and not Dr. J's, the Larry Bird's and the Magic
Johnson. The Converse.
Came out when they had the black and white, then they had the
purple, yellow, and white.
Yep, and I had both of them, and I remember going. And that's when that's Converse All Stars.
But you are a Sixer fan. I know that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Did you feel guilty wearing Magic Johnson's Laker color sneakers?
And the Larry Bird.
But at least they were black and white.
Yeah, I know. But I had to rock them, though, because they were just so tight. If I could have gotten they had Dr. J's back then, but they weren't.
They weren't as popular as far as the sale goes?
Yeah, and they didn't hit as hard.
Okay, okay.
They drew attention. And then they had the Converse All-Stars when they were coming out with all kinds of different colors, glow in the dark.
Yeah.
It was just crazy going to the mall and picking out, going to the strip mall and going out and picking out shoes and stuff.
Not like that anymore, man.
It was a good time, man.
Yeah, not like that anymore. I can't stand that we can't just simply go in and just pick up a pair of sneakers that we want.
It was like going picking out school shoes. Like,
that's what I'm saying, shoes. Man. On a Saturday afternoon, I'm in school all week. My mom, my dad, they give me some money. I get to go with my friends, get on the 52, take the bus down to 52nd Street, or get on the L, go downtown, and find the sneakers that I want. I felt good walking around with that yellow Samson bag when I would come back home, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. James Harden, man. If you could take the name Harden off the back of his jersey.
Yes.
And put Chris Paul on the back of his jersey. That's perfect for what we need.
Or put Steve from Delaware on the back of the jersey. The numbers would be like, oh, Steve's playing some really good basketball.
Yeah. Yep. If you're comparing the two, I mean, Harden gets more rebounds. He's more of a threat offensively. But if you could have signed me up to get Chris Paul, I would have done it all day. You know what I mean? Twice on Sunday. And I think he's playing even his shooting percentage well. And he's going to be able to pick it up when we need him to pick it up. I still think he has it in him to pull off a 25, 28-point game when we need him to. But he's a facilitator now. He's finding Maxey. He's finding Embiid. He's finding Harris in the corner, and Harris is making the shot. You know what I mean? If Green could hit one or two more, I mean, we could have a shot.
Listen, man, if they were to play through Embiid's injury and continue to play this way, you get Matisse Thybulle back. He'll be back in the series.
Yep.
I would like to see game one, see how they play. But when the matchup was always talked about, and I know Bill was just explaining how he just fears the matchup a little bit because of what Miami does, they did split. And I think they can play with that team. I really do.
And that's a big mental edge the way they beat him without Embiid, without Harden, with Maxey. You know what I mean? They know that the Sixers are for real. They know they're not coming in here. They're not going to walk over the Sixers. It's not the same Sixers as it was before. You know what I mean? They have heart. This year they have more heart than they had for the past 3 years. They have that Embiid playing with a fire that I haven't seen him play with before. You know what I mean? I see a difference in this Sixers team than I've seen as far as like pass, like they're not as passive as they were when Ben Simmons was on the team.
Yeah, got you. Yep. All right, man. You think they wrap it up tomorrow, though?
I think they wrap it up tomorrow, and I think they go to Miami. I think we go Miami in six.
Okay, Miami in six. Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you mine when we get there, Steve. Enjoy the weekend, man. Go find some Dr. J's. No more Magic Johnson sneakers. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You got it, man. Steve in Delaware, 610-632-0975. Moan, you'll be up next. We got Brian in Washington Township, Mark in Conshohocken, Gerald G in Los Angeles checking in with us. Maybe he'll have an update on Tristan Mays for us. And Tony in Baltimore, 610-632-0975.
Come on, man.
Tyler Zuli is here. We're talking a lot of basketball, and we're talking a lot of hoops. Embiid, Harden, Embiid with a little injury. You guys concerned? We'll keep that going. And the sneaker conversation, we'll explain it again on the other side, why we're incorporating that as a side topic into the show. I love sneakers, and I'll explain why. By the way, Fanatic Friday. It's presented by PumpManPhilly.com. Need a water pump expert for your facility for 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement. Count on PumpMan Philly, the guys to know, to fix your flow.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic. It's 97.5, The Fanatic.
.803-97.5, The Fanatic, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975, Tyler Zuli behind the glass at 9:45. We get the leftovers, and of course we get his commentary throughout the entire show about the Sixers and everything else we have going on. Sneakers as well. He's not a nut like I am, but he appreciates the shoe. Ty, right? You like them. Listen, you admire them.
I was never, like you always say, you know, growing up, that was a big part of your weekend, or a big part of, like,
yeah,
you know, just conversations you would have. Cause, like, I don't know if it was to this extent, but it seems to me the way that you talk about it with your cousins and your friends and all that, like, it seems to me that you guys would be like, all right, what's next? Mm-hmm. What's the next pair that we're going to get?
Yeah.
What are you getting? What am I getting? What's he getting?
Yeah.
I was that way with a couple of different things, even though that it wasn't like, not like I collected these, but it was like, what baseball bat am I getting next? What glove am I going to get? And then it was that, and it was, video games too.
Yeah.
What video game am I getting next?
Yeah.
So for me, like, I've admittedly never been a sneaker guy. I appreciate those that are, yourself included. Like, it's your hobby, it's your collection thing.
Yeah.
It was just never my thing. So anytime I would go into the store, you know, and again, like you said, now it's different because you've got these ridiculous raffles and
crazy.
Like, I see Tyrone all the time put up his.
He was just, like, talking about it a couple of weeks ago, him and Hunter.
Right.
Where they were both trying to get a pair while on the air.
And it was funny.
Because it's a 10 a.m. release.
It was funny because I was listening to their show on my way to do my show.
Yep.
And Tyrone got the one pair.
Oh, he did?
And he got, I forget which one he got, but I'm pretty sure he got a pair. And then he said, like, I don't know if I should have bought these. Like, basically, like, he's like, I like them, but I don't,
you know what?
I don't love
it's
them.
Now, it's like, it's the rush of, can I get them?
Sure. Oh, I get it. Believe
can
me,
I get them?
So I feel that way. Not that I'm buying one right now because there's other stuff financially that I want to,
yeah,
you know, get first. But I feel that way about, like, the PS5 has been ridiculously hard to come by.
Yeah.
So it's, you have to go into these raffles. And oftentimes, like, you get the sorry you're not a winner message. So I get that. The rush of, oh man, I won. Look at that.
Yeah.
But, like, when I used to go into the stores and stuff like that, you know, and I worked at, not like I worked at, like, a nice shoe store, but I worked at Modell's back when it was open, and we had shoes, and I'm like,
you're like, all right, whatever.
All I'm doing is looking at price tags. I'm just looking at price tags. Like, I'm 17 years old. I don't have that kind of money.
If I'm working there, all I'm worried about with the price tag is how much am I going to get off
the employee discount, right?
Yeah.
I think we got 20%.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the crazy part about it. And it's funny because I mentioned my cousins, right, who kind of got me into this stuff.
Right.
My kids are into it. My cousin Sean, of course, I mentioned him. I mentioned my cousin Till, and I mentioned Jack. And so Till's sister, Leah, my cousin, she just texted me because when Jamie mentioned the Air Max earlier, the Air Max 95s, the neon green with the gray with the neon green, the charcoal gray and all that, Nike should be sending her those every year because that was like her go-to shoe. So whenever we knew that the Air Max 95 were coming out, or at that time, see, Tyler, that's what I'm saying. The 95s were always in the store. So when the other ones just became unwearable anymore,
sure,
you just go get another pair. Now you can't do that. You have to wait for them to re-release them and try to raffle, get into a...
These raffles are ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, you got to get... It's like going to the market and all this stuff, man. You got... Come on. So yeah, my cousin Leah, she was the queen of the Air Max 95, the neons.
Kind of like what you know, you're talking about with, you know, which one are you getting next and planning it out with your friends and whatnot. None of us would ever buy these because when you customize a glove, a baseball glove, they get expensive very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But we used to go on, you know, especially in like the dead of winter in between seasons where we're like, you're like chomping at the bit to play again. We used to go on like Rawlings and all their websites and do their customized glove, And we'd be like, if we ever got the money, man, this is the glove I'm getting. 100%. This is the one.
That's right.
And you'd get like your name embroidered in it and your number, and you know, you would do like the glove flap would be different than the webbing, and like I was such a big fan of the trapeze webbing is, mm-hmm. where it's like that crisscross, mm-hmm. real thin web. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, mm-hmm. and that's what we used to do, was the gloves.
That's dope. That's cool though. So 610-632.
I still might do it. I'm not going to confirm nor deny.
75. As you should. Same way, like I told you. Growing up, I just became the way I lace my sneakers.
Yeah, but you're still playing. I'm not playing.
It's not even that.
I'm not playing baseball.
No, it's everyday stuff too. Just lace. I lace my sneakers the exact same way every pair. Get them, relace them, put them back.
Oh,
in the
you
box.
Relace them too.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All that stuff.
What Kids now too. With the ones that you, because you have pairs you don't wear, right? You just have them to have them.
Or
right?
I have them, but I have so much I just don't ever get to.
Do you relace those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. Keep the paper inside.
Okay.
All of it. Yeah. It became a big thing back when you knew when Adidas, when Run DMC make a song about my Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
You know yeah. what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I mean. So that was it for us. We asked you about your sneakers as well because I love them, playing ball again. And I'm wearing, you know, just a few different ones. But the other part was with Kobe's now and Nike. They have their agreement now. Vanessa Bryant, Nike came to their agreement, which is fantastic because the Kobe's are the most popular basketball shoe out there. Glad that they had that. So I released a pair of my Kobe's on Twitter and on Instagram just for people to see the ones that I have to start things off. I asked for others to send theirs in as well just so we can compare and also tell me what you're wearing. Maybe I want a pair of those so I can start playing in them or just simply sporting them on an everyday basis. Talking some Sixers and Embiid with the ligament issue probably with his thumb. Information from that last night that I got late last night. Woj, Ramona Shelburne, Shams, they released it earlier today as well. And it seems, though, that he is going to try to play through it. David Chow is the pro football doc that we talked about on Twitter. His tweet, have full confidence that Joel Embiid will be able to play through this thumb injury. Full details he is going to post on his .com website to let us know shortly about what the problems could be. 610-632-0975. Don't forget about, remember when I said I would get the yellow bag from Samson? Or the white one, white with the blue letters? City Blue was also another one that was really big for us as well. Moan in Uptown. What's up, Moan?
Hey, nothing much, brother. Just chilling, listening to another good show.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Hey, nothing much, man. Anytime, bro. Yeah, sneakers, man, real quick. I'm 58 years old. I don't really get into that sneaker thing. My son is all in it.
Is he really?
How
old is he?
He's 20.
Okay.
And he worked at Sneaker Villa and Foot Lockers. And
just man, to get the discount, him. Didn't he?
Yeah, just for the discount. Just for the, you already know.
I know.
Just for the discount,
I know.
Man. Just for the, he came, he would come home with two pairs, like every 2 weeks. He just had everything to the point now we have to have another section in the basement where we just wear his shoes off, man. It's sneakers, not shoes. It's ridiculous. I'm like, man, when I was coming up, man, we had the Docs. I stopped playing ball probably about 27, 28 years ago. I stopped playing ball when I was 30. And, you know, I had David Thompson's and the patent leather joints.
Oh.
I had, you know, definitely had the Docs. You know, definitely had Docs there. And you had your Pro Cares. See, you got one or two good pairs. And that's how you grew up.
Yeah, that's how you grew up.
And I stayed that way. So, like, now I get about two or three different pairs of sneaks, man, but I don't ball no more.
Yeah, but see, I was lucky because, like I said, I had older cousins and my uncle. So, especially when they didn't want them anymore, my feet started to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would just take theirs, and they were still in great condition. I was all good. Yeah. I was all good, Moan.
Yeah, I know.
So they started it.
It ain't no wrong with that. Don't get it twisted. I would always eyeballs what I wanted, but I knew what I was going to get.
You're right, right.
So you know you roll with that though. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I used to go down to Center City, take a trip to go to Tiny Town and get some shoes, man.
Yeah, man.
I had a small foot.
Yeah.
So I would go to Tiny Town if I wasn't in Samson's on 52nd or something.
That's right.
It was all good, man. But I love that, man. I love it though. Yeah, I'm more of a shoe man, a little mature now.
I got you. Understood.
I go walking shoes now, brother.
There you go. There you go. What you got on? Hey, no question. I have a bunch of those too. What do you have on your basketball team, man?
Well, I think we have to keep remembering what this team looked like before the All-Star break when they didn't have a point guard. And it was absolutely obvious that they didn't have a point guard, and they were fortunate to beat. They were able to beat Miami without point guards, but we watched that offense was so difficult. We have a point guard now. They want to hold Harden to this other standard because they don't like what he did, and so they got it into Harden. So they're going to hold him up to the standards of what he did when he was in Houston. But you and I and other realistic basketball folks know what he's doing now, other than just being a little more efficient, he's doing everything. That last game, when he played that first half, when they had 15 turnovers, he kept them in that game. He controlled everybody. He controlled that offense and was doing what a point guard does and still delivering and making impact. His game is impactful, and we got to understand what he's doing is impactful. Jokic had 37 and 15 last night. It ain't impact nothing. Everything that Harden's doing from that position is commanded because we've watched for 5 years where they never had a point guard. They have never had a point guard. So what he's doing now, I think against Miami, Spoelstra's going to dare him to beat him. And I think that might be their defensive strategy. They're going to dare him to do that. All he has to do, Miami plays the zone. And they're going to close
out. They will absolutely play zone against the Sixers we saw during the regular season.
And with that, if you hitting them, if you popping them jumpers, if you everybody's popping them threes and it's hitting, you pulling them out, and that's what they're going to have them do. So I'm not really stressing on Harden's doing what Harden should be doing now. You can't hold somebody like that previous caller. If Chris Paul was here right now, brother, I would have took Chris Paul at 35 and see what he's doing. Chris Paul ain't blown by nobody.
No, he's just using his IQ to do what he needs to do to get it done, and it's working, and it's absolutely working. Hey, Mo, they close it out tomorrow?
Oh, they definitely close it out tomorrow because now with the big fella with the thumb, that's extra time to rest, bro.
You got it, man. Mo, great. Absolutely. Enjoy the weekend. Have a great night.
All right, man.
Enjoy the game.
Thanks.
You got
you
it, man.
Well.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975.
I am glad that Ramon laid it out the way that he did because you and I have been talking about for a while. I'm so tired of using this phrase, but it is such a true phrase. It's like the contributable points. It's the points that he produces. It doesn't necessarily have to be he hits a step back three. But if he dribble drives and they have to collapse the lane because they know he's a threat to score or get to the free throw line and he kicks it out to a wide open Danny Green who knocks it down or a wide open Tobias Harris who pulls up from 18, those points all count the same. They're like at the end of the day, I really do not care who scores the points. Mm-hmm. It means nothing to me which player scores the points. It matters to me if the points that are scored are enough to, the main focus of the game of basketball is to score more points than the other team. That's all that matters to me. I don't care how it happens. We always talk about how did it happen. In that particular instance, I don't care how it happened.
Yep, absolutely.
I don't care if you get 197 points from Shake Milton and Furkan Korkmaz and Paul Reed. Like, I really do not care.
Yep.
Just get it done.
Just get it done. And the bottom line is, as I said, with his 18-10, they're 3-0.
That's plenty. I'm fine with it.
3-0.
Would I like to see it get to 21 or 22? Of course I would. Because then I feel like they're going to start blowing teams out, if that's or at least this Toronto team, the way that they've played, if it gets to 21-22. But 18-10 is plenty for me.
Got you. 610-632-0975. We got to get some of these tweets in as well. But let's go to Brian in Washington Township with us here next on The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
My man, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. What's happening?
Hey, you taking me back. You talking about jumping on the 52 and 52nd Street and 69th Street to Boston State prepping
plastic. So let's tell everybody. So Brian and I grew up in the same neighborhood. We're still friends to this day. And Brian knows exactly what I'm talking about.
and you legit, too, because I remember back in middle school in West Philly, you always had the flies kicked on the box. You're doing your thing, brother. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to be honest with everybody. So for me now, no. My daughter, she's what I guess what you call a sneakerhead. For me, I just like the, I wear like more like walking or track shoes, like the Nike Daybreak I like. I like those.
Yeah.
I like the Air Max ones. I got a couple pair of those.
And then I got the Jordan ones, and I still keep looking for the Jordan 3s and 4s, but I'm only paying retail. I'm not paying
prices. Exactly.
So that's where I'm at. But, yo, man, you bringing back some serious memories.
Hey, man. Hey, this is what we did, right? Go down to 52nd Street, hit Samson, check it out, see what's going on. If not, 69th Street. If not there, go. Wouldn't that be a Saturday? If you didn't get it there, you go to 69th Street. If it was 69th Street, you go downtown. That's the last resort.
You walk with your orange bag. What was it called? The Jock Shop, the place across the street?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
The Jock Shop, right? There you go.
Yep.
Now you're doing
it. City Blue, of it.
I'm loving this.
Yo,
as far as the Sixers, man, let me tell you. Yo, Devon, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I can't do the national pundits anymore about anything.
B, you hear me. You hear me. I'm always like, I don't care what they say. Doesn't matter, good or bad.
With this Embiid thing, even the thumb. Like, I mean, if you talk, you listen to ESPN and some of these natural folks, the season's over. Embiid's going to be shut down. I'm like, what? You know, I mean, he's beat up. This is what happens during a grueling playoff run. I mean, we get it. You know, but right now, I don't think it's a cause for concern. Let's finish Toronto off tomorrow. Let the big man rest up a little bit and get ready for Miami, because I think that's going to be a hell of a series. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
Especially with James Harden, because I've been telling you for the past, 4 or 5 years, with that other guy, you said they finished the first round. They was always okay. That second round, when the good team started playing, that guy could not run a half court offense in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now we got us a real point guard. That game one against Toronto was beautiful. No touch. They had like two turnovers as a team.
Three as a team. One after three quarters.
Man, that was playoff basketball. That's what we ain't been seeing in the past 4 or 5 years, because we had the other lunatic running up and down the court. That ain't playoff ball. You ain't going to win like that. So I want them to, you know, right now, the Harden that we got, he ain't dropping the 35 and 40 like he used to, but he's playing a beautiful floor game. And the other thing about Harden, even, you know, the past couple months, I didn't realize, I think you talked about his basketball IQ. I didn't know he was at this level, to be honest with you. This man knows how to play basketball, and he knows how to preserve his body. You know, I'm just looking forward to this run, and I'm just looking forward to that Miami series. I'm glad that we won't get Boston, Milwaukee, or Brooklyn until the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think it's coming together nicely for this squad.
All right. Do you think they wrap it up tomorrow?
I hope so, especially now. Just get the big man a little more rest, show that thumb up a little bit, and let's just put these boys to bed and just get ready for the next series.
Thanks, B. Always good to catch up, man.
All right, brother, I'll talk to you.
I'll talk to you later, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, so we grew up in the same neighborhood.
He said that lunatic.
That lunatic. And we went to the, you know, we grew up in the same neighborhood.
That's awesome.
Went to the same school. All
gave
that
you a lot
stuff.
Of credit, too.
And
said you always had the nicest shoes.
I told you, my cousins and my uncle, man, they took care of me. Of course, my parents got me stuff, but it was easier when you had the older cousins.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about having either older siblings or older family members who you know, kind of take you under the wing a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, here's what's cool. Here's what's not.
They schooled me.
Yeah, for sure.
They schooled me.
So you knew what you were, you knew what was in and what wasn't.
Yeah. And then eventually I felt like I had an eye for it.
And then you knew what you were doing.
And I did. And then the kids
then
came.
You kind of go,
along.
Go out on your own.
Yep. And passed it right along to them. Some of the stuff I'm like, because me and my daughter, we'll get into an argument. Because I'm also a New Balance guy. Big Nike guy. First, New Balance, certain Adidas, you know, things like that.
The dad shoes one?
No. that's my dad's. He would wear those growing up as well. But my daughters, because the certain New Balance was starting to be made now that are popular. And they're all okay. But I'm a 574 guy. More of a 996, more of a 1300 guy from when I grew up. But they have the nice ones now that are really cool. But me and my daughter get into an argument because I'm like, Ace, these are way better than yours. Dad, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Of course, the ones you like, you're going to defend.
Right. But look, no, I give them credit for certain things that they like now that are, you know, at her age and all of that. But I'm like, no, the 574 is the best. You're tripping right now. And then, you know, I saw a pair of the ones that she liked in a different color scheme. And I was like, yeah, these are dope. So 610-632-0975.
So with the New Balances, I don't know the numbers, so I had to look up the ones. I know what you're talking about now. You have a couple pairs of these, right?
The 574s?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 574s, 996s were my favorites growing up. And when we say the 996s and 574s, everyone knows we're talking about the gray ones. And the first time I found out about them, my uncle, because he's from Baltimore, the DMV area, Tyler, that's all they wore were the 996s. Gray. New Balance. Love them. Still. And the 574s then came along later. Mark, I see you there, man. I know you've been hanging a while. Tony, Brian, Spider, Gerald, my man G in L.A. Get to you guys when we come back. We'll run right through your phone calls. And 610-632-0975. And I got to read one from on Twitter from Paul. And throw that Tyler and see what Tyler says. We'll do that when we get back right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, 8:32 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We appreciate everyone for hanging on. 610-632-0975. Great conversation on the air and off the air with Tyler Zuli as he was explaining more about his style of choice for the shoes, which was his baseball. And Tyler, we did it too with basketball. A lot of times, our basketball sneakers sometimes, you know, they were our sneakers for every day as well. But, yeah, the baseball cleats.
The cleats were, they were a big deal. And it's funny, too. I bought a pair as an adult, and I was probably like 20, 22, 23 years old playing in, you know, adult summer leagues, coming home from college. You're still playing with your buddies and everything.
Yeah.
I bought a pair. Remember how I was telling you I worked at Modell's? They didn't generally have a good selection of stuff. But one day I was just roaming around the clearance section of the shoes, and I found a pair of cleats. They were a little bit too big, but to this day, and they were like $19, to this day, the best pair of cleats I've ever had. And I wore them from that day until the last at bat I took at like 26, 27 years old. So it's funny, sometimes you find your best or your favorite pair of whatever when you're not looking for them.
Yep.
I was just roaming around. I was off, and I was just chilling, and you know, I was around the mall. I was doing different, you know, buying some different presents, and I'm like, let me go pop my head in real quick. And I found these awesome pair of cleats for literally less than $20.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
The only problem was they had this little red strip, and it looked awesome, but it was made of like this weird plastic that I left my cleats in the trunk of my old car, and it melted the plastic. Yeah. So it was like just this red, like gooey stuff running down my cleats.
Oh, man, that's crazy. All right, let's go back to the phone. Let's get everybody in here. And I wanted to tell you guys about this tweet real fast before we come to you next, Mark. Hang on. I want you to respond to this, too. This is from Paul. Paul, POZ5. Paul's always been a big Sixer fan and a big Simmons fan. So he says this. All right, Devon, here comes the excuse. He's playing with a broken thumb. This guy is such a joke. Every second round, he has an quote-unquote injury excuse. And fat man ain't the answer. People act like they ain't been to the second round before. They ain't been any better this season than last. So, Paul, I disagree with you. The second round part, I can't deny. Well, they haven't gotten there yet, so let's see what happens. And we haven't seen him. This is not an excuse. If he can't play or make shots and make the passes, whatever it is, we don't know how it's going to affect him or not. But I don't think he's a fat man with an excuse. He didn't choose to have a broken thumb, a torn ligament in his thumb. And I know a lot of it is because you're a Simmons fan, but we got to put that aside right here. We don't even bring him up during this show. As much as you know I liked him, we don't even bring him up. But I disagree with you. Wholeheartedly, I disagree with you on that one when it comes to the Embiid part. It's not an injury excuse. It's real. He said he's playing tomorrow. All right.
Not only is it a real injury, like, and not only is he going to play through it, his conditioning has been sensational this year.
He's not fat man anymore.
He is not in any poor shape by any means. And I'm just kind of curious as to what else you'd like him to do at this point. I mean, lead the league in scoring, not enough. All NBA second team, should be all NBA first team, but they won't change. Not enough. Knock down a fall away, fade away three with 0.8 seconds left to take a 3-0 series lead. Not, like, what else is the guy supposed to do? And do you want him to be the general manager, too?
Oh, All he can do now is just win games and be available, and he's still available.
And he's going to play.
He's going to play. Mark and Conshohocken, thanks for hanging on, Mark. Sorry about that, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Happy Friday to you and Tyler.
Thank you. You as well.
I'll bet you anything that guy who tweeted is a Cowboys fan, a Duke fan, a Yankees fan, and a Lakers fan.
Well, I know he's a Sixer fan, and he was a big Simmons fan, and I'd imagine that he is still a big Simmons guy, but we just disagree on this one with him.
Me too. So I'll say my sneaker story for the end if I still have time left, because I want to talk about Harden and Doc. Two quick points on Harden. One, I don't know if he was playing possum or if it was the hamstring, but he does look, he's not super explosive, but he does look to be a little bit more spry than he was the last 10 games of the year. So I was really happy to see that because I was apprehensive going in as to what he was going to look like. And the second point is, and I'm just going to say I agree with a couple of callers while I was on hold, stole my thunder, and that's that when I watch him in this Toronto series, he's reminding me of Chris Paul, and that's the ultimate compliment you can give to any point guard.
Yeah, because Chris Paul is still playing at a very high level at his age, adjusting his game a little bit more as he's gotten older and still having a lot of success, clearly. And now we look to James Harden to do the same thing. Now, while he's still a little bit more of a better scorer than Chris Paul is, and the age difference is certainly there. But, yeah, right now you're a high-level player like you said you are. Make those changes.
And with Maxey emerging, he can get away with that without being 40-point Harden.
Yep.
Doc Rivers. So I got to give him props. I'm not a tremendous fan. I'm not a big hater either. But game three, two things stuck out to me. One, we'll never know with Thibault out how, if he had played Korkmaz or Isaiah Joe, given him those minutes, how it would have affected the game. But the fact is, he didn't, and they won. So I have no choice but to say that was the right decision, by all accounts.
Exactly.
And so I give him props for that. That was probably a tough decision.
And he's coached a heck of a series overall. He's outcoached Nick Nurse.
Yeah, and the second thing is, this may seem silly to some out there, but I really got to give him props for having the wherewithal to call that timeout.
Yes, sir.
I was watching that game.
Yes, sir.
And right when he called the timeout, Embiid had thrown up that shot, and the ref was waving it off, and I was so confused what's going on. And then Kate told the viewers that Doc had called the timeout. And I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. And I'm like, well, now it seems obvious. But at the time, it never popped in my head. And for what everything going through his mind, for him to be run down the court to get the time out in, I really got to give him credit for that. That was, it won the game for us.
Yep, absolutely, man. Do they close it out tomorrow?
Barnes. I thought they would win a game if Barnes was fully healthy. But given where
he's bad,
ankle looked, I'm going to have to go with the Sixers.
Oh, you got it, Mark. Enjoy the game. Enjoy
sneakers.
Your weekend. We'll talk. Oh, sneakers, yes.
So I got time yet?
Oh, yeah, go.
So I'm not a big sneaker guy at all, but the topic reminded me when I was a kid playing CYO ball, and I got a pair of the black and red Air Jordans. It might have been Jordan's first shoe ever. And I remember I had to get an advance on a Christmas present so I could have them. You know, we didn't have much, but so I could have them at the start of a basketball season. And I loved them. And I didn't even like Jordan. I hated Jordan. But, man, I loved those sneakers. And the topic reminded me of that when I was a kid growing up.
Now, think about what you just said, too. Look how popular they still are, Mark.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Who would have thunk?
It's amazing. Amazing. And I think they were less than $100 when they first came out initially.
Yeah, I think they were like $80 if I can remember.
Yep. I would love for it to go back to that. Mark, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Actually, I bought the Jordan 1s, when I got them a couple of years ago when I bought the Jordan 1s. So the last one for me. And even when I bought my youngest daughter a pair, she's 14, so still, you know, the prices, women's shoes or the kids' shoes, she can get either one. They were 85, I think I got hers, the low-top Jordan 1s. Mine were 110.
So that's what I was going to ask you. What? Not the super hard-to-get ones or the really expensive ones.
No, they're super hard to get, but then they'll go to the resale.
What is it, not on resale, on a regular buy it off the shelf or buy it online or whatever you do, what's a price that you go, okay, that's too much? Like, what's your max threshold for a pair of shoes?
Anything over $200, I'm scoffing at regular price, retail price. And then there's some where I'm looking at the sneaker. Let's say a pair of Jordans comes back, and I think recently they just had a pair that they were re-releasing, and they were like $190. I was like, I don't feel like paying $190.
Sure.
I don't feel like it. Can I? Sure, but I don't feel like it.
Yeah, mine's a little bit low, but also, like I said to you, I wear more like the running shoe now.
Yeah.
Like the track shoe, like a couple of our callers have said. The thinner one. And I was always a high top guy, but now that I don't play basketball anymore, I just wear the low tops. Anything that's like, you start getting to 100, 110, that's when I start going, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I understand that that's kind of how the prices are.
And again, I have to really want them.
Sure.
If I don't really want them and I'm just like, okay, I can have these again, or I can have these, I can get these, I don't feel like paying it.
Well, and that's where when I say that I'm not much of a sneaker guy, like my sneakers are bought out of necessity. They're not bought out of want.
Oh, yeah. I'm well past that now, like 30 years ago. 30 years ago. So my man Stu just checked in. He said $80 for the Jordans when they first came out. Yeah.
It's not bad.
Heck no. Heck no.
You could definitely do
and
a
the
whole
NBA
lot worse.
Had banned them.
I do remember them doing that. Not I don't remember it live, but
they,
I do know it happened.
They didn't fit with the uniform color, even though those were the Bulls' color. They wanted them white or black, not red, white, and black. Amazing how things have changed. Stu always has some slick sneakers, too. Let's go to G in L.A. What's up, G?
Hey, what's up, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Hey, real quick, man. I actually don't like these crazy when every dude has on a different color on the team. Like, I don't think it has to be as strict as it was back in the day, but cats be wearing, like, bright yellow and then another dude orange. It's just kind of crazy.
Well, my cousin wears the bright yellow.
Yeah. It's a little crazy.
But he only sticks with the one color all year long.
Well, that I'm cool. You know, that I'm cool, but like I said, it's just...
Yeah, he doesn't switch up. He wears the KD, I think the 13s, and all the bright yellow ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, it is what it is, man. They done messed up the sneaker game, man. Like, the prices is crazy. Even if you want a decent pair, it's hard to get them. You know, it's just kind of the whole game is messed up now. You know, you just can't. There's certain sneakers. It's like you said, you got to sit online and hope you luck up, or you got to be prepared to pay $500 for it, which is kind of a hard thing to do, man.
Yeah.
I got principles.
No question, you know, man. No question.
I'm a big fan of the Pharrell, the Adidas Pharrell NMDs.
I have a pair of his. I have one pair. It's like a multicolored thing. To your point, a multicolored pair. But I like the color scheme, so I got those.
Yeah,
I got on sale too. So I was cool with it.
Well, I lucked up. I got a bunch on sale, but then when the exclusive ones came out, I got on the auction and was able to get pretty much every color I wanted.
Oh, okay.
On the raffle or whatever they call it when they release them. So I lucked up. But now
everybody's buying the Yeezys. I don't like them, but everybody's doing all that stuff. But
yeah, I'm not giving that dude any of my money, bro.
What you got on the Sixers, man?
So number one, man, if you watch basketball, which I know you do, the impact of James Harden is ever present on this team and this team's success. We really do have a guy who's, you know, we went from a guy who was a liability in a half-court offense to a guy who is definitely an asset and is creating all kinds of open shots for everybody. Now, teams are still trying to double and triple team Embiid at times, but that's what's leading to Embiid being a better passer and finding these guys wide open. And do not for a second, I feel like the people who don't like James Harden just don't like James Harden. That dude could have 35 no turnovers and 15 assists, and they'd be like, he was hogging the ball. You know what I mean? Like, so I just, you know, the evidence of what that guy's creating on his team. And yeah, has he lost a half a step? I don't know if it's partly due to injury or not, but yeah, he's lost a half a step. Does he occasionally have an ugly turnover or, you know, a charge call or something? But I also think him and Embiid both aren't getting half of the calls that they should be getting. And we're getting criticized about foul shooting. Embiid's tied for third in the playoffs for foul shots. He's not number one. He's right. tied for third with John Durant. So I just think the criticism is just people that don't like Philly, don't like the process, and then we got the one dude that they probably don't like as much as they don't like Philly in the process, and James Harden, they're just piling on.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. And we've heard it, because especially from the Brooklyn side, because they were so upset with how he left. And I understandably so, but it was like, come on, guys, just back off a little bit, knowing that you're also dealing with something that we had to deal with here. You're accepting him. Let us accept this guy here and see how it plays out, by the way. And now we're with the Embiid part, where it just seems like what else do I have to do? So, yeah, it's all there, man. And that's why I'm just happy that we don't hear a lot of stuff. They just go out there and play ball and hope that they get it done. Just go play ball, man.
Yeah. And I mean, the MVP thing is kind of crazy to me. You know, I'm really trying not to engage in the, like, you know, tear Jokic down, because he's a great player. But you also got to look at the big picture and go, like, Embiid has just been phenomenal this season, and it's continued to be phenomenal. I know it's a regular season award, but, you know, this guy just continued to be phenomenal. To deny that really makes that award feel like a joke to me this year.
Yeah, no, I got you. All right, do they close it out tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, they got to close it out, because I want them to have this 5-4-5-6, maybe even a week rest. We saw what happened with the play-in week, where they got that week rest. They practiced real hard. They felt real good going into the playoffs, and they came out gangbusters. I think they have to do that to preserve their rest and kind of keep things flowing. And I don't know, something can be said for a hard-fought series. You know what? They got a taste of that in the game the other night. They'll probably get a little bit of that at the beginning of this next game. Just close this out and take the rest.
Got you. All right, man. We'll talk later.
All right, man.
Next time, bring us an update. Thank you. All right, G. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Great stuff from G. Let's get to Tony in Baltimore. Want to keep a lot of these people shocked in West Philly. Shocked is my man. Got to talk about what we used to do with the sneakers around the way. Tone. Yo, Tone. Yo, what's up, man?
Hey, same crap, different toilet with these national pundits crushing the Phillies.
That's why I don't pay attention. I see it and I move on, because I don't care. Even when they praise the Sixers, I'm like, I'm out. I don't need it.
Hey, I could talk sneaks all day. First off, my money's on your cousin's over, you know, on that game.
Oh, what Jamie was talking about? Okay.
Yeah. So when it comes to sneaks, yo, I had to have honors, man. You was blessed by your uncle, man. You wasn't just lucky, you was blessed.
I know I was, man. Listen, first of all, again, they had different things in Baltimore. He would get things here, take it back to Baltimore. He would have things from Baltimore, bring it here. And as I got older, he would just, you know, give me a few of the, you know, the ones that he had, or just buy my own with the different colors.
That's why you was rocking Dolce and Gabbana right now, because you bring the finest material to us all.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
you know, I told you that I used to call you and Jeff Mocher.
Yes, sir.
Dolce and Gabbana.
Yep.
When I called you along, I don't have a lot of time to wait on hold with these kids and traveling for work, so, you know. It's beautiful to talk to you, man. I love listening to you. You just bring me a smile. And, you know, I'm the Fanatic addict. I listen to the Fanatic all day long, every day.
Thank you.
I'm down there in Baltimore, obviously, unfortunately, because, you know, my homeland is where you're standing sitting right now. But, yeah, man, I have to say, I hate to say the name of the Australian, but I'm putting a C note down on your cuz. Now, once again, Embiid, Mark from Conteville, yo, he was exactly right. Doc did that. What other coach would have sprinted down the floor like that at that age? You know what I'm saying? And got that timeout. That was timely. He was right down that sideline.
Got to give him credit for it. Got to give him credit. Otherwise, it would have been an empty possession that was terrible. And the only reason it was saved is because Rivers did what he did, and then Embiid followed it up with the shot.
All right, with the sneaks, man. I got a slept-on pair for you that I haven't heard. I want to get two that I don't think I've heard mentioned yet.
Okay.
I got to go the Bugs Bunny Johns, because when I got those, you know, I had made the Distinguished Honor Roll and had like a 98th percentile, like on that CAT test. Remember the CAT test? Because we're around the same age.
Yeah.
I was like in the 98th percentile in the country because I wanted them shoes so bad. I studied for every class. You know what I mean? Because that's the only way I was getting them. I told my mom, I said, if I make a distinction.
You talking about the Jordans?
Yeah, the Bugs Bunny joints, the Space Jam.
Yeah, the black ones with like that purple kind of color with the gray.
Yes, but the best ones was the ones with the two square holes in the tongue. It was the little pullback on
yeah,
the laces.
Yeah, I know exactly which ones you're talking about. The black ones,
With the clear bottoms and, yep. and the air pockets.
Mm-hmm.
The first ones with the air pockets was the Jordan 3s, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I had my Jordan 3s with the air pockets as I was walking one day. I had them so long and never wore them. The sole started to crack, and I didn't notice it. And as I was walking, they came apart while I was walking.
Man, that was the worst when your air pockets blew out. But remember the pumps when the pumps came out. I wanted them bad, so I did the same thing. You know, and anyway, Joel has to just focus on defense this game and relax and don't let them, because like you said, they're going to try to slap his hand.
100%.
They're going to try to hit that thumb.
Yep.
Their eyes going to be on his thumb, not the ball.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be on the ball, but on his thumb side.
Yeah, no question. That's why he's got that rip through that he likes to do. He's got to be careful how many times he does that and bringing the ball down. Also, when he does keep the ball high as much as possible, not bringing it down, giving them an opportunity to do so. They close it out tomorrow, Tone?
I believe so. I already put some money down. I believe it's between 9 and 19 points.
There you go. Tone, thanks, man.
All right.
Enjoy the weekend. Appreciate it, man. Got love you back, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. I got Brian and Shock and Spider. We got a couple open phone lines, Ty, since we got started at 7 o'clock after Jamie. 610-632-0975, the Embiid injury. How concerned are you, James Harden? What else are you looking for from him? I think he has done a nice job as a point guard running the team, and we've been having a sneaker conversation as well because I love sneakers. Back to playing basketball again. So I wanted to know what you guys were wearing lately and what is comfortable for you, and I share some of the things that I'm wearing, the ones that I put up on social media as well, the Kobe's, a lot of good stuff. Got some right here from OS Philly showing us some Jordans that he paid $300+ tax after the retail price.
What?
$300. Let me say it again for you, Tyler. $300.
That's so much money.
$300. Yeah. After the retail price.
But you know what's funny with like spending money? It's all about your priorities. Because like I would have no issue.
Hey, look, you might have enough. You have enough money clearly to do whatever you want to do.
I would have no issue if I took $300 and because I think the cheapest one's like $4. We were talking to Shock about it. Like I got no issue buying a PlayStation, but I would for shoes. It's all about what you want to get.
Yes, about what you want to spend the money.
It's all tangible stuff, right? Yeah. You can't take your money with you.
And he sends the Jordan 12s with the. He sends the Jordan 12s. Sorry about that, Brian. Plymouth meeting. He sends the Jordan 12s, the ones that he paid $300+, the white one with the blue on the bottom there and the foot. And I had the red ones, the white and the red ones. Left them at a gym after a game I played in. Had a good game. I didn't play in them. I was wearing them. And someone walked away with them. I was disappointed. Yes. Yes. All right. We come back. We got Shock and Spider. Open phone lines after that. We'll talk a little birds as well. 610-632-0975. And the Fanatic Friday is presented by PumpManPhilly.com. Need a water pump expert for your facility for 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Final hour for us tonight on this Friday. Programming note. Be back tomorrow at noon for the Sixers pregame show. I'll be running with you until the start of the game at 2 o'clock. Get that one going for you. 610-632-0975. So, yeah, I'll be here during that time and able to have a good conversation with you all as we lead in. And maybe we'll know a little bit more about the availability and what Joel Embiid is going through. So we'll do all of that tomorrow at noon. Right here on 97.5, The Fanatic, previewing the game. Also have the pregame coverage at 1:50. Tom McGinnis on the game call, and I'll do the postgame following that. Tyler, you on after that? You following us?
So I'll be following you guys.
Okay.
End of postgame till 8 o'clock.
In the post, with Ty Lazuli.
Yes, exactly. Whenever the post starts, we'll go in the post.
You got it, man. All right, appreciate it. So that's what we'll be tomorrow, so make sure you join us, 610-632-0975. All right, let's get back to the phones, get everybody in there. We're going to talk some birds. John was on me because I didn't talk about it last night. Johnny, if you're listening, I'm going to talk about Deebo Samuel shortly, so hang in there. Let's go to Shock in West Philly next on 97.5. What's up, Shock?
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
How you doing, man? What's happening?
No, I'm good. It's been a minute.
It has been, man.
So, on the sneaker thing, first, you forgot one spot. You was taking me back, though. I'm a little bit older than you.
All right, so I said City Blue, Samson, the Jock Shop my man Brian brought up. What was the other one?
You forgot Knicks up. I think it was Knicks up 65th and Lansdowne.
It was Knicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Used to shoot up there to pick up kicks.
Every
too.
Now and then we would. Yep.
Sure would.
Yeah.
But as far as the sneakers go, I only wear Nike, and I've been wearing them since like the 90s. So basically all I wear is retro Jordans and Air Maxes. So I've got red and black retro 2s. I've got fours, about four pair of the 5s, the cool gray 11s, and the favorite ones that are right now that I haven't even worn yet is the white, the cement gray,
yeah,
and the black 4s.
Oh.
Those 4s.
Oh.
Yeah, I got those.
That's great.
And the second favorite ones is the cool grays. I haven't even worn those yet, but I'll probably wear them like within the next week or so or something like that. I didn't get to see you at FanFest, but at FanFest, I had on this black and gold Brian Dawkins jersey that I had never seen, so my brother got it for me for Christmas.
Right.
So I had to go on Nike and customize a pair of black, gray, and white Air Maxes to match them.
Perfect. So, And they are one of one because they're yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like about a month or two later, I'm on the Nike website and I saw a similar pair of sneakers to the ones I designed. I was like, ain't that a... I was like, oh, all right, whatever. You know what I mean? But it was cool. As far as the Sixers go, though, I know last year we said that we had the easiest path to the finals last year. And, of course, we blew it. Well... certain people blew it who we won't mention. If you look at it, the way the team is playing this year, we might have an actual easier path to the finals than we would have had last year because we're going to beat Toronto. I think they're going to close that out. Miami, I think that's going to be a tough matchup, but I expect to beat them in 6. And regardless of who we play, whether it's Boston or the Bucks, I think we can beat them in a 7-game series. So, like, anything less than the Eastern Conference Finals, like, we shouldn't fall no shorter than that, honestly. And everybody's talking about Harden. He needs to score more. He needs to do this. Harden is playing right now just the way we need him to play. Like, the one caller said he would like him to be more efficient.
Yeah.
Okay, I can understand that.
And I'm not mad at that part. I'm not mad at that.
He's playing and doing exactly what we need him to do right now. And I feel as though when the time comes, because there will probably be a couple of games where we might need him to step it up and score maybe like 25 to 30. I feel as though he can do it, but he's not the Harden of old, so he's not going to be dropping 30, 35 every night on a consistent basis. Plus, he doesn't have to. That's the main thing. Like, people are worried about Harden. All right, he might have a little issue with the hamstring.
Yeah.
But the way he's playing right now, I don't think we have anything to worry about.
Neither do I, Shock. So they close it out on Saturday?
I think they close it out.
I think I agree with you, man. Keep rocking those kicks, man, and we'll catch up at FanFest this time around, all right?
Oh, most definitely. I had to buy you a soda.
Yes, right. Shock, I'll talk to you, man. Thanks.
All right, Devon.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
610-632-0975. That's funny. Let's keep it going. Spider in South Philly checking in with us next. What's up, Spider?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you feeling?
I'm good. How y'all, man?
Pretty good, man. Getting ready for the game tomorrow, man. Looking forward to it. Yeah. Closeout situation.
Hopefully we do that, man. I got faith in this. But touch on your sneaker game real quick. Only J's I really like in my lifetime was 4s, 8s, 11s, and then 10s. I like 9s too, but my favorite really was like 10s and 8s.
10s and 8s?
Yeah, man.
The 9s, I like the 9s. I never had the 9s. The 8s were really cool, especially when they started making them in different color schemes. And the other ones that I really like were the 4s that I had. And I actually, Danny Parmels, NBC Sports Philly, right? Uh-huh. We were out playing ball one day, and I had on a pair of the Jordan 15, no, the 16s without that weird strap on the front. It was without the weird strap. And I took the weird strap on. I liked them. It was the white with the navy blue patent leather on the toe, and all they were. I liked those, and I hadn't worn them for so long, and I had them just sitting in the closet. And I decided to play ball in them, and again the sole just came apart. I was so mad, man.
Listen, man, because you shouldn't have ever had them, Jones. Divine.
Nah, they were dope. I'm telling you, without that weird strap on it, they were dope.
I don't think I've ever seen them without it. Dude, that's why I ain't feel nothing though. Really, no, I ain't feel no J's really, man. After like 11, man, for real, and always with some Air Maxes, always.
Yeah, I like those sneakers. Air Maxes are the classic. I still have like three or four of them now.
Oh, and now my new thing is Vapor Maxes, so that's my new thing. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah, I'm good. But talk about the team. Like I was telling you, man, Thibault. Non-factor, really, man. In my opinion, non-factor. We don't need him playing no more than 15 minutes, man, for real. Because him playing, I listened to the morning show this morning, they was echoing my same thoughts, man, my same feelings. Bob and them, they was talking about it. There's no need for him to be in there 30 minutes and not giving you any type of offense. Because his defense really isn't that helpful throughout the game in 30 minutes. He let tons of guys get in front of him and things of that nature, and he's picking up a lot of fouls. So, like I was telling you, man, he's still at a non-factor. 15 minutes, all he needs, man. That's it.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. That's all he needs. Doing his job right now. Again, we'll adjust to the next series when we get to the next series. Right now, for what he's doing through the playoffs, he's giving them what they need.
Yeah, and I like it. James? Like the caller said, he needs to be more efficient. I have no problem with what he's doing right now. He's keeping everybody involved. When you give him 13 assists, my man, that's doing something. And especially when you also taking shots, getting rebounds, you actually trying.
Yeah.
I remember when 2-5 used to pull off stuff like that, and I would be upset because I knew there was a problem with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
JoJo, I just hope my man Thumb be cool. Don't suffer too much of a bad, you know, because I know they're going to be going at it tomorrow when he play. Yeah. Hopefully, it don't get injured too much tomorrow, and he'd be able. And we get them guys out of here, we'd be able to rest up for a few days, get some good practice in. I like what the team going. Oh, and I want to praise. I want to say something. My man Tobias, man.
Yeah, gotta give him credit.
Because I ain't been giving him no credit, none, man. And I got to say his name because I ain't heard said his name none. Tobias, man. If you're listening, bro, keep doing what you're doing. Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Listen,
bro.
He only had 11 points on Wednesday. But you know how I always talk about Spider where he's not impactful enough? I remember so much from that game of what he did, both the points that he gave them offensively with the 11, but defensively as well. He was that important with what he did.
And he kept moving. And I like the fact that they keep moving. And I ain't been seeing a bunch of stagnant defense, a bunch of bip, and y'all stands in the four corners, and I try to get to the rim and pass y'all, get a ball with one of your men collapse. I'm glad I ain't seeing that every time up and down the court, man. I'm seeing real offense. They out there doing their thing. Hopefully, man, this thing continues. We get them out of here tomorrow so we can get some good rest. Guys, heal up some more. Man, I ain't going to hate on you, man. I ain't going to hate on Doc no more. I can't keep it. Because I have been seeing some things he's been doing, paying close attention, and also listening to people that's also been, like, down there at the court, also getting a better view and also can get a better ear of what he's saying. And so, yeah, he's been doing this thing. I can't front
no
him.
No doubt right about now. It. No doubt. All right, man. They close it out, right?
Stay blessed, man. Yeah, man. Listen, we're going to close it out, man. As long as my man can play through his thumb injury, get us his 25 points. We're going to close this out. They demoralized. We just down a dub.
Gotcha. Hey, man.
He came back.
Thanks for checking in, man. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game.
You too.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, man. Look, Todd, I don't think we've had one tonight where people felt like they would lose. No, we had one. So it'll be a game five on Monday.
Yeah, and the only other the only other person that I've heard say that is John Kincaid. Said that on the morning show, I forget if it was today or yesterday, but
that they would extend it,
that there would be a game five. Yeah. I think that, you know, without being overly dramatic, without being hyperbolic, the Sixers took their souls on Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever it was. It feels like it was 700 days ago at this point. But they took the Raptors' souls. The Raptors threw every single punch they had left at them, every single punch, and they led that game for the entirety of the game until the latter stages of the fourth quarter and overtime. The fact that the Raptors didn't come out of that game with a 2-1 series deficit and instead it's 3-0, I don't think they have anything left. You might see a little bit of a punch in the beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe even they trail at the end of the first quarter. I would expect the Sixers to win this game by 10 or 12 points.
Weather the storm again. Weather the storm again. They're showing us something. They're showing us something. It's a totally different series getting to Miami, but you're not there yet. So right now, they're showing us something. 610-632-0975. Man, we got a bunch of tweets flowing in, too. We got to get to those folks. Great stuff everybody's sending us. Let's go to Kendall in Southwest. What's up?
Hey, Devon, what's going on, big dog?
What's going on? I'm good, man. I'm feeling good about the game tomorrow. And, yo, I love talking sneakers. You from around the way, so you know it, too.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what, man? The shoe that really did it for me, man, I was born in 88, right? But I had older brothers. One got 12 years on me, one got 8 years on me.
See, look at you, right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, right? So they were wearing the Fab Five Barclays is what we call them.
Ooh, my man Anthony Gilbert, he sent me the ones because he still has a pair. Yeah.
I got a pair myself. They were called the Nike Air Force Max 93s.
Yep.
And they were the ones that Barkley wore in the finals, too, because you had the all-black ones with the white front with the gray check. And then whenever Barkley played at home in Phoenix, they had the white ones with the black strap.
And what were they called?
Nike Air Force Max 93s. That was Barkley's signature shoe.
Yep.
Then you had the other Barclays that came out the year after that, the CB94s. Mm-hmm. Those were the ones that Kevin Garnett and then was wearing in high school in Chicago.
Yeah, that was a friend of mine. He texted me those. My man Var, he got some at an outrageous price himself.
Yeah. Now, for the Jordans for me was the Jordan 4s with the fire reds. And then, obviously, the patent leather Jordans because Iverson wore them in Georgetown.
So I had the Jordan 4s, the white ones with the gray, and I had the black ones.
Yeah, the black with the black suede.
Yep.
Yeah. They were classic.
Both of mine, because I had them for so long after they brought them back out. I had them for so long, both of the soles just came apart.
Wow. And then I remember the Jordan 12s.
Earlier. Someone sent a picture of those. I had the red ones, the white and red ones.
Yeah, that's crazy. And my oldest brother had the white and red ones. And he bought them for my middle brother, but they didn't get them from me. And I was so sick, man. Yeah, because my one brother was going to Temple. And then my middle brother, he was, I think, like a sophomore at Overbrook. I wear, and they had them, and I didn't get those.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and the last shoe was actually not Nike. It was the Iversons, the rookie year ones, the white and red.
Yep.
And my brother... he took me to Foot Locker on 69th Street when it was only just the one off.
The smaller one,
right?
Yeah.
And he took me in there, and I remember seeing the red toe, and then the number 3 on the back. And I was like, man, I really want these. He's just like, I'm not going to get them for you. And then 2 weeks later, it was Christmas, and he brought them to the house, man. And I was ecstatic, dude.
Yeah, man. That's good times, man. Well, right? And especially when you got the older brothers, man. They take care of you. Except for the one time when he brought your other brother the pair and he couldn't get you some. Yeah, I got it.
My parents didn't get it. They were still trying to get me sneakers, some Sears on 69th Street, man. That's not going to work, buddy.
Remember the Sears? Yes.
No, man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And I mean, but yeah, as far as the Sixers, man, I think we're going to pull it out. You know, Tobias definitely stepped up, man. He's playing so good defense and he's hitting some big, meaningful threes. Like that 11 that he scored meant more than a lot of games where he dropped 20, when it just didn't have any significance to it. You know what I mean? But and then Maxey's becoming a star. I mean, that tip dunk that he did the other night.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we're not tip dunk.
The layup, the putback,
the pickback, man. But, I'm confident in us, man. I think we'd be all right.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they close it out tomorrow. Like Tyler said, like you're saying, they just simply close it out tomorrow and get it done.
Okay, just get a break. Just get a break. Get through that W tomorrow, God willingly, and then just go home, relax, enjoy the family. You get your massages in, and then go into the next round.
That's right, and rest up that ligament issue thumb now for Joel Embiid.
Right.
Hey, man, right, thanks, man. Thanks, man. Always good to hear from you. Enjoy the game, man. Appreciate
it. Say, brother.
You got it, man. Thanks. Yep. Close it out. Get it done.
Seems simple enough.
One job left for this series. Close it out. Win that closeout game. It's not easy, but it's time to close this game out. They've done everything, the Raptors, that they could have tried to do. You gave your best punch.
Well, that's what we're saying, man. I think that if this Raptors team comes out with an intensity that they're able to match and level for 48 minutes, I will tip my cap to them. Because good for you guys. Like, you found something to live for, at least for another 2 days. Like, good for you. I just don't expect it to happen.
Yeah.
There's no conceivable way in which I can see this team being like, we are not 1 foot out the door for a full 48 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. All right, let's go to Nate in Southwest next. What's up, Nate?
Wait, boy.
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Good.
All right, I'm gonna take this real fast. So, listen, Charles Barkley said something. I seen a video of Barkley saying something the other day that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So, what he said was that Morey put all his chips in the table with James Harden, and if James don't come through, the Sixers is done. But then he came back with it and doubled down and said, I don't see the Sixers if they lose. He don't see us ever recovering as a franchise from this situation. I don't know if you've seen him say that or not. But I'm like, Yeah, he said, I don't see him. Bro, I'm going to send it to you on the jump. But he came back and said, I don't see them recovering from this trade ever.
Saying that if they don't win or something like that, he said this will go down as the worst trade in history.
I got a video.
Okay.
And they'll never recover from this again. So, but when he said that, he said, and then all they're going to have is Embiid. But does Charles not open his eyes and see that Maxey is a rising star? I don't understand.
I guess he needs to see more. I guess so.
Maybe, but I mean, if everybody else sees that this kid was the 21st pick in the draft and is doing way better than most of those guys in that draft, I don't understand how he can't see it. But that's neither here nor there. Joel, I think get some rest. Knock this joint off tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Let's end this situation. Go ahead and rest your thumb, bro. I mean, you still look good shooting the ball because you're hitting threes with 2-point-something seconds left.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of adrenaline, too, but we'll find out tomorrow. We'll find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, he had the blood pumping, but at the same time, man, listen. If you can't hit them shots, punish them down low. That's all you got to do. Go take it to the block. Get the fouls, go to the free throw line. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that, man. And, you know, as much as I bash Tobias Harris, like, he ain't giving us nothing. Man, this dude is having a heck of a series,
giving
bro.
You everything
he's
right
giving
now.
Giving me everything I need, bro.
That's
yeah,
right.
So,
he is in that pterodactyl defensive stance. Man, he's moving his feet, bodying up Pascal Siakam, using his chest, making him get into him. Come on.
Absolutely. So just for him to play that strong defense on Pascal and limit him to like 12, 13 points, man, you can't ask for nothing more.
You might have to get a Tobias Harris jersey.
I don't know about all that one, brother. But on the sneaker note, man, I got them Jordan Retro 5s, the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah,
they've been sitting in my closet for probably like the last 2 years now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
I
have a pair of, which ones do I have? I'm trying to picture them right now, the ones that I have.
I like them Kobe Jones you put up.
Oh, you saw that?
Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I had them Jones, but I had them in purple and patent leather.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody with these.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
Jones,
I'm happy about them.
Yeah, I seen them Jones today. I said, okay, playboy.
Yeah.
You breaking the game out like me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I figured I'd start with that one pair, and then, you know, maybe once a week we'll put up a pair just to have, you know, just to keep the conversation going, have a little fun with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have a clean pair of the white Air Force, the Air Jordan 5s, the Jordan 5s that I have right now in the closet. Yep.
Right. I got a pair of fair joints that I got, man. Fair God joints. Nike, they Jordan patent leather.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, bro, I throw that on with the Mo Cheeks jersey and I'm heading down to the stadium until they come back. Yeah.
That's for round two, right? Round two. Sure. Not game one of this, not game five, no. Round two. Round
no, three. Miami about to lose, though. They about to go 2-1. Atlanta playing tonight, bro.
I know. Mike told us that, too. So it's a 3-point game right now. Miami up 3. So we'll see in the third quarter. All right, Nate. Yeah. We'll talk, man.
Stay up, bro.
You too. Appreciate it, man. All right, come back, Dave. We talk a little Deebo Samuel when we come back as well. Final segment. We got the leftovers with Tyler Zuli. And we'll wrap things up here on this Friday night. It's been a fun one, mixing in the conversation with the sneakers as well. It's been a good overall evening, having a great time with you all. And we'll talk to Dave when we get back, mixing the Deebo Samuel conversation. The draft is next Thursday, 6 days away. Man, we have a lot to talk about next week with that. We'll do that, though, with Deebo Samuel next, with Dave and Tyler, and then the leftovers at 9:45 right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, always love that as a return. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, final segment. Tomorrow, noon, start time for me. Getting ready for Sixers basketball, leading you into the 2 o'clock start in Toronto for game number 4. A possible closeout for the Sixers in advance to the second round and awaiting their next opponent. Right now in Atlanta, the Miami Heat, since Nate just said what he said, they just ran out to a 15-point lead. It is now 83-68 Miami.
The Heat are on since the third quarter started, they are on a 29-7 run.
Yeah.
Wow. That might be a sweep too.
Yeah, that might be done. Either way, it may not start until next Saturday, so we're all good. Get some rest. Both teams will get some rest, and you know, you just man up. Let's go, lace them up. All right, Deebo Samuel, Tyler. We've heard about AJ Green, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf. Obviously, I'm AJ Brown, not AJ Green. He did resign with the Cardinals, by the way, who they have their quarterback issues. But the one name that keeps being brought up about coming to Philadelphia, would you want him to come to Philadelphia, is Deebo Samuel. And we know that, at least based on the information that we heard, was that they were trying to acquire Calvin Ridley before everything went haywire with him. But the Deebo Samuel thing is interesting because of how they use him in San Francisco, all the things that he does. But it also appears that he doesn't want to be used in that way. He wants to be a wide receiver only. Right? So with that being said, he wants a new contract. You see the money being tossed around. Christian Kirk kind of changed things. And then you see the star receivers like Devontae Adams getting his money. And now you see Cooper Kupp wants his money. Said he will work with the Rams. Fair deal for both sides, but he wants to be paid. And rightfully so. The man just won a championship and playing crazy level of football right now. Of course, you got to listen to see what it's going to take to get Deebo Samuel. The question is, when you do that, are you still having the same issues with the quarterback play? And why wouldn't you, though, want to use Deebo Samuel in the same way that he's being used right now? Because they're having success with him being used that way. He's getting the ball. But anyway, Tyler, would you do it? Would you do the Deebo Samuel part, or would you just simply focus on the draft right now?
Because
right now, if you do it, you're going to have to give up the conversation before the draft, anything to get done. That's how you're going to look at it.
So I think two things factor into this. First and foremost, what is the compensation?
Sure.
And two, I know that he has said he wants to be used as a traditional wide receiver. And you know how highly I value Deebo Samuel. I think he's one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL. And I don't say wide receiver. I don't say running back. He, along the, you know, he is basically, you look at him, you look at Cordarrelle Patterson, but Debo's a better, much better player than Patterson. But like the point being is these guys that can be used in multiple different sets and multiple different schemes and different positions, that he has so much value to a team, specifically the 49ers, because we've seen it. But I would imagine anybody with even half a brain as a coordinator would know how to use him.
Yep.
And he has so much value to a team. If he rescinds that, I just want to be a wide receiver type thing. I know that for him, it's a longevity thing. It's to keep the body healthy. It's not taking hits out of the backfield. If he was able to say, all right, yeah, I'll play that role that I played last year, I would give up a lot for Debo Samuel, and then I'd pay him right away.
A lot.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Oh, yeah, he's
No, I mean, he's going
like,
to get it.
I like a lot of the receivers in this draft, don't get me wrong, but he is such an X-factor, game-changing type player. I would give up a lot for Debo Samuel.
A lot. Absolutely. Yep. So I would do it, and let's see what David in North Philly would do in terms of Debo Samuel. What's up, Dave?
Yo, what's up? I got to be honest. Harry Roseman already showed you Robert Woods and Devontae Parker got traded for, what, like a third? Another guy was like for a fifth. If they weren't going to trade for that, they're not going to trade for him. Yeah, you would have, honestly, you'd have a better chance of them trading for DK Metcalf if they're going to give up a lot. And I mean, what did the Cowboys get for Amari Cooper? What, like a fifth and a sixth or something?
I don't even remember what they did.
I know it's that's just the thing. One thing about the wide receiver market has shifted, and I mean, unfortunately, we can't draft them worth anything. But that's kind of where they're going to go. They're going to draft at that position.
First round.
It could be first or second. But with them making that trade with the Saints, it just. There's an article on Comcast SportsNet or whatever they changed it to. And he
Sports.
Broke down his strategy on how they do their trades. They had the trades in place ahead of time, you know, according to what the compensation is going to be. And just knowing how they are, they're going to get a defensive lineman. One of those is going to be a defensive lineman. I wish it would be a linebacker. There's probably going to be a wide receiver that falls to them. But then again, they may shock people. I mean, it won't be a shock. Something tells me they might trade up. 9, 10, 11, they might trade up. And if they do that, they're grabbing a defensive end.
Or if Sauce is there, maybe they like Sauce.
Yeah, corners too, yeah. Yep. The corners throw me off. See, I'm at a weakness when it comes to the college players because I don't watch college sports. So I just kind of got to get my info based off of the insiders and stuff like there. But you got to go by their track record. They like getting them linemen. I think this year, if there's a true premier offensive lineman that falls for whatever reason, they might, you know, screw everybody and take them. And 5 years from now, we'll be like, it was a great pick. But I think it's going to be one of them defensive tackles, one of them Georgia defensive tackles, or the corner, or could be both. The wide receiver, if they don't get it in the first, they'll get a wide receiver in the second round.
Okay. All right. And, hey, man, next Thursday, we started off. It's going to be fun.
And I'm glad, I'll be honest, you know, I ain't been really down with the NBA for like a minute. To me, the Sixers ain't been relevant for almost 20 years. Everything else is just smoke and mirrors. I think because I've been out of it for so long, I've been trying to get back into it. But literally, I'm hearing them talk about Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, and they're talking about Kyrie Irving. And they're in these legendary categories, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know their jersey number. I don't know what team they were drafted with, who they've been, like, their entire careers, even LeBron. I've seen 3 years of LeBron. And I'll be 42 next month. I've seen 3 years of LeBron.
Wow.
The whole league, the league was, it was just trash with the trades and stuff. I checked out, and I can't. It's difficult for me to get back in.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, man, always good to catch up, Dave. And
have a good weekend, man.
You too, man. You too. Appreciate it. Brian in Plymouth Meeting said on Twitter, since he had to hang up, he said he was going to talk about Embiid in the thumb. Said, having broken all my fingers playing basketball, I totally tore ligaments on my ring finger playing football one time, and there was no pain at all. It just was floppy and didn't do what it was supposed to. It says, being his thumb, I expect his shooting to be fine, but his handle to be a problem. And I definitely expect that he will constantly be fiddling with the brace to the point of distraction. Might be right. Might be right. And that's why it's also good that he's practicing whatever practice time that they did. He had it on. So the adjustment is there as well. Thanks, B. Appreciate that. We go to B. Martin in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, B?
Yo, what up, Devon? What's going on with you, man?
Oh, man, what's happening? Little hoops, some sneakers, football. We got it all covered, man, tonight.
You sure do, man. And listen, when you start talking about sneaks, I wasn't a super sneakerhead, but Devon, you know, in our era, man, if your feet ain't right, ain't nothing right.
Nothing right. Doesn't matter what else. As long as you look clean with the other stuff, your sneakers had to be right.
They had to be right, man. So, like I back in my era, man, like some of the sneakers that were big, like were the Lottos and
I had the Lottos. Like,
yeah, the Lottos was it, man.
Oh, like, man, take the off the logo and put the other color on with the Velcro. Yeah, man.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You had those. Like, one of my favorite ones from back in the day, I never had them, but I wanted them bad, was the Patrick Ewings, man. I like those a lot. You know what I'm saying? I like those a lot. And the thing, like, and you were talking about how it's difficult to get them now, man. It's like, it is when people reselling sneaks all the time, man, it is just out of control, man.
It's nuts.
You can't get nothing, man. You can't get anything, man. And it's frustrating, but you know, I refuse, man. I wanted some Black Cat, Jordan 4s. Man, listen, I am not spending what they want for those Black Cat 4s, man. They want like upwards of $600.
I know.
You know. So I'm like, man, nah, I'm not good. And I wear a size 9.5.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I'm a 9, 9.5, and we have normal foot size, and that's what everybody else wears.
Yes, everybody else wears it. So it's like, it's terrible, man. But my sixth point, man, is, listen, man, like, everybody is, not everybody, but I'm with you on the Harden thing, because Harden, to me, like, last game, he played well, bro. He played really, really well, man. He played like a point guard supposed to play.
Yep.
That, to me, that's what I saw, you know, and is he the Harden from Houston? No, he's not that Harden. You know what I'm saying? You get older, things happen.
Yeah, we shouldn't expect that.
We shouldn't expect that, man. And you were the first one to say, listen, he's not going to be that Harden. You know what I'm saying? But he's better than what we got, way better than what we got. You know, so I think actually tomorrow's a done deal. It's over tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Because I just think that Embiid is easy right now, even with the hurt thumb and everything. He can't stand Toronto because of what happened a couple years back. So he wouldn't like nothing more than to send them home while they're home.
Yep.
So just go home. Y'all go sleep in
no,
your bed.
No need to get on the plane. No more going through customs. You're good.
Yeah,
done.
You're good. Now, I'll see you next year.
Exactly right.
I'll see you next year, man. I get at y'all next year.
Hey, great stuff, B. Home, man. Hey, man, good to hear from you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Right. Thanks, man. You got it. Let's go to Northeast Philly, check in with Daryl before we get to the leftovers. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Hey, I'm coming home, so I feel good.
That's a great thing.
Hey, I wanted to call. I think a caller called saying that there's no way the Eagles are going to get Debo and even try for Debo. And I just don't think that's going to be the case, unfortunately. I mean, I think they're going to try to do something at wide receiver. They got a lot of capital. And, you know, in this draft, you got a lot of talent, but there's nothing like a proven commodity, you know. And when you have a proven commodity, it takes a lot of stress, especially if you have poor draft history off you. So the question is whether or not they're going to get value. And, you know, I think that would be the concern, whether or not you give up too much. But if it works out, nothing's too much at receiver, at a position that's been, mm-hmm. you know, a struggle to kind of solidify, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as Tyler said, man, you just go ahead and do it. You know he's a proven player. He's only been in the league for a handful of years, and he still has a lot left in him. You pay him, and you move forward. You do what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you improve your football team, period.
Without question. He's still got to get the ball. It's still got to be development, but it would certainly help Jalen develop to have a, you know, player like Debo.
No doubt.
I think Howie's definitely looking at it, and the Eagles are notorious for pulling off stuff when you don't think they can do it, you know? So, I think it may happen.
Yeah. Well, it happened by next Thursday. That will be it. All right, Daryl. Thanks, man. Appreciate you checking in on the late part of the show, man. We appreciate you getting in. Safe drive home, man. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. It's 9:48. It's time for the Screeching Tires Leftovers. Tyler.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprising story to start today's Leftovers. The Charlotte Hornets, after making back-to-back play-in tournaments, have fired head coach James Borrego. The 44-year-old was 138 and 163 in his four seasons with the Charlotte Hornets. But if we're being fair with ourselves, only two of those years were even remotely competitive in the post-Kemba Walker years in Charlotte. Here's the thing. He had a 10-win improvement in three consecutive years. They had 23 wins in 19, 33 wins in 20, and 43 wins this past season. Obviously, the season ended in the play-in tournament for the second consecutive year. They got blown out by the Atlanta Hawks. So, Devon, I ask you, was that last time we saw James Borrego on the floor a little bit of recency bias and the reason as why Mitch Kupchak made this decision?
Yeah, because I think Mitch Kupchak also knows that he's on the clock, Ty. So with him on the clock, he knows that I somebody else has to be the fall guy before I go. Therefore, James Borrego has to go. They have an okay roster. They have now a star level player that can raise. He has already raised the level of interest in that franchise. It wasn't James Borrego's fault. They don't have enough. How many times during the trade deadline would we constantly hear they're going to go after a center? They're going to go out there and get another center because they're missing that piece. And Kupchak goes and get Montrezl Harrell. He's a backup. He's still a backup. Complete that team as a whole and give James Borrego something more to work with. They were in it because he's a good coach with good players and made it all work out.
Did they really think that Plumlee was going to be the guy?
You got me.
Makes no sense.
You got me.
In a move that we, from a surprising move to a move that we almost see every single year with whichever team that this quarterback is playing on, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have restructured the contract of quarterback Tom Brady, which happens every single year because he doesn't need the money at this point. The move frees up $9 million in salary cap space at a time where we know that the Bucs could really use some. They have only about 4.4 projected in cap room, which is the sixth lowest in the league. And remember, you do need about $3 million for the Buccaneers, who don't have a first-round pick, to sign their players this upcoming draft.
Well, he's always taking a shave, right? He's always shaving off money on his contract, whether it was in New England and now here in Tampa. I'm not surprised, Ty. Really, I'm not.
And I apologize. They do have a first-round pick. I don't believe they have a second-round pick.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised that he's shaving money off.
No, why would he? Their family has a ton of money.
Yeah, he's always done that.
All right, so I got to get to this story real quickly. Do you remember last week when we talked about the kid that was bold enough to bring his toaster into school to toast the Pop-Tarts?
My man.
All right, well, we got one that went a step further.
And
because
Pop-Tart then was sending the Pop-Tarts to the school.
Yes.
Once this story came
out.
Yeah,
so that story did good. This story, not so much. As a kindergartner in Michigan brought a pre-mixed bottle of tequila to make margaritas into class and started sharing it with classmates at snack time. And the students believed that they were drinking juice, but the 10% alcohol by volume drink apparently got some of the students... One of the students said they got, quote, they felt a little dizzy.
A little bit.
They said their head felt fuzzy.
A little tipsy,
Parents are rightfully so not very happy about
the
situation.
Not happy. So what are the parents of the kid, how do they feel? How do they feel?
That's
that
bad.
That my man, you know, was able to bring that alcohol to the school and pass it on to the classmates. That's bad business. But, hey, you know, I was able to taste, like, beer when I was a little kid. Stuff like that.
Not in school, though.
Not in school. My dad would let me sip it.
That's what we've got for our leftovers tonight, Devon.
Great stuff, man. Wow. These kids and the stories that they, all right, whatever. Alfie from Abington, before we get out of here, says, no love for the East Bay catalogs? Shaking my head unless I missed it. Alfie, you're absolutely right. The East Bay catalogs, we couldn't wait for them to come in the mail and look at the sneakers and then try to order them. It was an experience. It was great. Show was great tonight. We had fun. Really appreciate everybody. Tyler, great work as always. Jamie Lynch. I'll be back tomorrow at noon. Tyler will be on after the Sixers. Everybody have a great night. Sixers, Raptors tomorrow. We'll get in busy before they start at noon right here on the Fanatic. Good night. Count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.